Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Some people try to pick up girls, get called an asshole. This never happened to Pablo Picasso. Why, he could walk down the street, girls could not resist his stare. Pablo Picasso was never called an asshole. Not like you. Now the girls have turned the color of an avocado. When he drives down the street in his El Dorado, why he was only 5'3", girls could not resist his stare. Pablo Picasso was never called an asshole.
A chicken is standing on a corner.
There, we had to. Salute to you, James Garner.
Forgive my indulgence there, my good friends, but just a little bitty tribute there to the late, great James Garner I felt was in order.
Absolutely. I was really bummed on Sunday morning when I found out that he had died. I was just,
yeah.
It hit me about as hard as the death of Christopher Reeve. I was just so bummed that
yeah.
he was gone. So.
Yeah. It was, I mean, I Rockford is my ultimate favorite with him, and of course I love Maverick, and I love Support Your Local Sheriff and The Great Escape and The Skin Game, and just, I mean, he's one of the all-time greatest television actors.
Yeah,
and
he was so natural, and he just had a kind of like a easygoing confidence.
Yes,
you know, there were very few people that could come close to his. But you know what? There was something about guys in that era of actors that kind of had that feel, you know, like, and they all hung out together. It was like him and James Coburn and McQueen.
Yep.
They all just kind of had that kick their feet up and, you know, be guys, you know?
Oh, they were all so damn cool. I mean, The Great Escape could have been called just The Great Cool Escape, because, I mean, look at all the great cool actors. I mean, you had Charles Bronson with him, James Coburn, as you just mentioned, Steve McQueen, James Garner, I mean, Richard Attenborough. My God, that whole Now, why would you want to escape from that prison camp? I mean, it's just, they're all so damn cool. I mean,
exactly. And one of my favorite scenes in that movie is introduction of James Garner's character, the Scrounger, where he hasn't been in the camp 5 minutes, and he's looking in that German truck, looking for anything he can grab, and that German soldier comes up to him and he says, "What are you doing by the truck?" And James Garner just says, "I'm stealing tools." And you know in that moment, this is going to be an awesome movie.
Yeah, great film. And then Mr. Garner was extraordinary, and he will be missed. He had a nice long life, lived to 86, of course, but it was a bummer. I saw it like around 2 o'clock in the morning, and then just didn't sleep much after that. I was like, wow, I just saw it by chance, like at 2 a.m. it's announced, and like, man, I hadn't heard much from him in a while, and really, you just see that, you know. But he was great and loved him. And then the Rockford Files is one of a few shows that I think of. I love it anyway, but even before I started watching it over and over again, I mean, some episodes I've watched so many times. I first saw it when I was pretty young, and my dad would watch it. And somehow, I always think of my dad. My dad used to wear those coats that Rockford wore for some reason. We had I grew up in the car business. We had a car lot, and we had that Firebird a couple of times.
Oh, that's awesome.
I love that Firebird.
Yeah, that thing is sweet.
Oh, that's one of my – that's right up there with the Bandit's car for me in terms of the coolest cars of the 70s, you know?
Yeah, they didn't make them like they did in the 70s.
No, love them, love them. Toy Room of Insanity, thank you for being here, sir. Welcome, everyone. We just got started, and I just had to get a little Mr. James Garner in there, but he will always be remembered and loved here. I watched a few episodes of Rockford the other day and a few Mavericks the other day just to because I had to. And I broke into my Buffy rewatch, binge watch I've been doing to pay a little tribute to the man, James Garner.
We did the same thing. We watched Rockford that day.
I watched like three of my favorite episodes, and they happened to be all like in a row for some reason. Which ones did you guys watch, by the way?
Well, I randomly picked, of course, the one that was – it was a coincidence, but it was starring Sherry Jackson, so I didn't complain. Then we watched, what was it, season one, episode five. I can't remember the title. So
yeah, I watched The Hammer of C-Block. I always loved that one with Isaac Hayes.
Uh-huh, right.
Gandalf Fitch. We because of that episode, we always call him Rockfish. Rockfishy. So, love it. Great stuff. But that's not what we're here to talk about tonight. We got all kinds of – well, we got a really fun topic for tonight. But first, everyone, welcome to Clobbering Time, issue number 492. That's right. We are getting close to the big 5000. And I guess what we're going to do for issue number 500 – don't bother guessing because I don't know either. So don't even forget to guess. It was a silly, silly thing. But we'll do something. You know, for 500, you got to do something. I mean, I remember Action Comics 500. I remember Detective Comics 500. Those were some pretty big 500s. You know what, Mike? I just realized it. Maybe for that, since it's a 500, I'll do 500s. I'll talk about classic comics that made it to 500 before they eventually, because of DC and Marvel, especially DC, got chopped down, and they don't have the old numberings like they used to. So who knows? Maybe I'll talk about landmark comic books.
Which was the dumbest, not to get us off on a tangent, but that was the dumbest business move in history. The person who raised their hand and said that in the board meeting should have instantly been fired, like instantly.
Yep. Yeah, but they're idiots. They think, we have to have number ones. There have been more number ones. I think there have been more number or at least more Superman number ones or more Green Arrow number ones. I used to say this about FF. There are like more Fantastic Four number ones than there are actually issues of the entire run of the Fantastic Four.
Well, yeah. Remember when it was a joke? Like, remember back in the 80s when the joke was that Red Sonja had like four number ones and it was actually...
yep.
It was like the Scarlet Letter. It was like, you know, if you have more than three number ones in the span of, you know, 10 years, you're not a good comic book or comic book character because the legacy characters don't start over. They just keep going. And now it's like in vogue.
Right. See, that's out the window. You know, Green Arrow never really had his own series back when series lasted long. And so when he finally started getting them, other than the miniseries in the 80s, when he finally started getting them in like the past, you know, just in this century mainly, and a couple before that, he started over like four or five times.
Right.
And I love Green Arrow. I'm just saying, like you just said, that the lumbering doesn't mean anything anymore. It's awful. So who knows? Maybe my number 500, I'll do a show about that because I can't think of anything else anyway. Okay. anyway, this is 492. And what was it going to? This, listen, but I want to listen here on the Ganache Network on Blog Talk Radio's Clobbering Time. I'm not trying not to be remiss, so I will say Decker and the Gang for Possum Hour Monday nights and Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. Daddy G and the Gang, 9 p.m. Eastern on Saturday nights, I think. I hope. This Thursday night, it'll be Flash and Matt and I. Tentatively, we were planning to do our Planet of the Apes show. We're going to review Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. And, of course, since I'm a big 805 and love all things apes except for the filthy Tim Burton garbage from 2000, we will be talking about all things apes in addition to that if they see the film before then. If they don't, we'll push it back to whenever. But a week from tonight, I'm very excited. I have a very fun show planned. Those who do not know about it, the Super Team Family blog started out as the Brave and the Bold Lost Issues blog. Ross Purcell is going to be here. Excuse me for saying that incorrectly. For those who do not know, and I know you will remember this, Michael, those covers I send you from time to time from that blog where the guy will, like, for example, he'll have Dick Tracy and Batman or whatever. He makes up, you know, fantasy covers from Batman Brave and – excuse me, from the Brave and the Bold.
Those are cool.
Yeah, he does a great – I've loved his blog for years. For the Super Team Family blog, for those of you out there who know, if you're an old-time comic book geek, seeing those wish-fulfillment fantasy covers, like, you know, Batman teaming up with, you know, a Marvel character, and with Batman teaming up with Kirk and Spock. You know, in other words, he does all these amazing, I guess, obviously, Photoshopped covers of old – they look like old 70s Brave and the Bold, and even some old Golden and Silver Age comics, but of course they're Batman, they're the Thing, they're other characters teaming up with characters that they obviously, for legal reasons and other reasons, you'd never see them teaming up with.
Right.
So that gentleman, I've loved his blog for years, and he has agreed to come on the show next Tuesday night. Looking forward to that. Now, let's see, do we have, oh, by the way, I think I told you about this, Melinda?
Yeah.
Our old buddy Parker Stevenson. My friend Scott Young, you all met Scott. He was at a con in Charlotte, and he remembered me. Parker Stevenson remembered me, which means he remembered you two as well.
Yeah.
Well, I would bet money that he remembers Melinda, and because he remembers you from the panel. But I'm okay if he doesn't remember me. I'm not.
He remembers you all right, my friend, because he knew your name when I got the autograph for Melinda. So he knows you. He knows us all, and what a splendid chap! I need to get him on the show one day, don't I?
Yeah, you do.
I should probably call him. I will call him. Well, welcome everyone who is here in the chat room with us tonight, Toy Room of Insanity. I am honored to have you here as always, Quickie. I don't know you, but I'm glad to have you here. And guest 4504. It's been a coon's age or a dog's age or one of those ages. Now. What are we here to talk about tonight? I will let you explain, Melinda.
Well, you know, I get all kinds of, you know, as we all do, junk in my Facebook feed. But, you know, you just click on it and go, okay, what is this stupid crap? And so there's all these people speculating all kinds of things about the new Star Wars movie that's coming out. And, of course, it's so far away that anything that even does get leaked out, which hasn't been a whole lot, because apparently J.J. Abrams has really sworn everyone to secrecy and is doing all this insane stuff to try to keep anything from leaking out. But you got to kind of wonder if it's just kind of hocus-pocus they're putting out there to get a read on fan responses to ideas and stuff like that. But anyway, so this idea came out the supposedly reputable source who has been right in the past about things has posted just a very, according to him, vague idea of what the movie is going to entail. And so, you know, I read through it, and Michael and I were discussing last night, and so in our heated debate about it all, I thought it'd be a good topic for us to discuss here, because whether or not it's true isn't so much the point, but it's more of, you know, what could be good or not good about the movie, even if it's not, even if this isn't what it ends up being, this leak, you know, what would be a good idea. So I guess we'll start with what the actual leak is.
Before we do that, can I just say something real quick?
No.
Okay. No.
Okay. All right. So, Mike, I know that you and I are more cavalier about this because we've been through the muck, as it were, when it comes to bad movies and Hollywood overpromising, and we're healthy skeptics at this point, I think is a safe way to describe us. We protect ourselves psychologically from what's coming.
Yes.
That being the case, do you, I think you know what my opinion is, but I wanted to ask you genuinely, and there's no wrong answer.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really think that there's any value anymore in trying to keep a Star Wars movie plot element secret ahead of time for your own personal sake? Like, because I've been getting all these comments, you know, on the Facebook and stuff from people who are like, oh, no, you, spoilers. And then they're like,
oh, yeah,
I got to run away. And I'm like, yeah, because I did it so much good the last three times.
Yes.
The beginning of this article that I'm going to go through in a minute,
mm-hmm.
we use the word spoiler-phobe, which seems kind of correct. I mean, people are really afraid of finding out.
People are insane about spoilers. I mean, I've always been weird about spoilers, and Claude's worse than me, as you know, but I think we've talked about this before. A lot of us grew up in the age where you just didn't want to wait so you'd read the comic adaptation and you'd read the novel sometimes.
Right.
Yeah.
I've done that a lot. I don't know about you, but I do understand on some level, like, look, I want to wait and be surprised. I get that, but people take it a little bit too seriously, but who are we to tell them what they should and shouldn't, you know, how they should and shouldn't be, but...
I don't mind waiting to be surprised for something that's proven that it delivers.
Right.
I'm not going to go out and seek out information about Pacific Rim 2 because Pacific Rim 1 was good. I didn't know anything that it was about aside from giant robots and monsters. So I went, and now I'm like, you know what? I'll just see Pacific Rim 2.
But if you see something about it by accident, you're not going to spaz out and want to shoot somebody, though.
Exactly. I'm not going to feel like my life is ruined. I actually had a guy in college. I bought the Phantom Menace soundtrack. Because it came out like a month before.
Oh, yeah, there were plot things on there.
Right. Well, I wasn't getting it for the plot things. So,
whoa.
But I got it for the music. I wanted to hear John Williams' score ahead of time. And he heard it through my dorm room door on the way back.
Was there like spoken word?
No, he just heard the music and he was like, he grilled me one day. He was like, what were you listening to? And I'm like, I was in my room listening. He wasn't even a roommate. He was in another room.
Should have said porn.
He was upset, and he felt like it was a personal affront. And then later on, after the summer was over and I came back, I ran into him one time because it was the new academic year. I lived in another dorm. He actually told me that it was because of me that he thought Phantom Menace was a bad film. He's like, wait, you were in the movie theater, and you saw a genuinely bad movie, but you're going to blame me for the movie being bad because you heard some of the music through my door ahead of time. Okay.
Now, there were some titles to some of the tracks that were spoilery.
Right, right.
Like, I think, wasn't there one like The Death of Qui-Gon Jinn?
Yes, there was.
Yeah, I remember seeing that when it came out.
Spoiler alert for those who haven't seen the prequel.
Yes, and if those of you who haven't, you would love, Melinda would like to exchange memories with you.
I would.
Yeah, but look, there are spoiler tracks like that. I remember when I got that soundtrack like you way before the movie came out.
Right.
And I was for the music, but so you weren't looking for a spoiler. And if you read that, you go, oh shit, he dies. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. So I can see where you go. Wow. Thanks a lot, guy. But. Or it's like that stupid Batman Begins toy of Ra's al Ghul.
Right, right.
They kept mispronouncing calling him Ra's. You weren't supposed to know Liam Neeson was Ra's al Ghul.
Right.
Ra's, you idiots, by the way, and Nolan. But there were it was a toy out. Remember that?
Yeah. I guess I get to the point where I'm like, you know, especially when it comes to Star Wars, I feel like I need to know my enemy. It's like, because... I don't know. I sit back, Mike, and I'm like, at this point, with all the disappointments that we've had, I really just don't know. I guess the best way to put it is, spoilers aren't going to spoil Star Wars for me at this
point. No, Jar Jar Abrams is.
That's already effectively been done
by
Lucas 15 years ago.
Well,
so, as
we'll talk about later in
the
program, I think we can all, three of us anyway, can agree that, you know, regardless of what happens in the film, it's going to be somewhat dictated by what happened in Return of the Jedi, which was kind of a disaster, especially at the end. And
But according to these spoilers, if they're true, it's disregarding.
Well, it can't just completely decide that like Leia's not his sister. In fact, like, I guess they could do that, but anyway. So, I just think that's going to kind of set the tone. And since that sucks so much, there's not a lot that they can do to really pull it out of the gutter. Does that make sense?
No, yeah, I understand. And you know what? I guess I would probably, if there's something I was really, really looking forward to, I can understand, I can relate to not wanting to be spoiled too much, but when it's something like this, that is, it's Jar Jar Abrams, so it's spoiled already. There's nothing you can do. I want it to be as unbelievably inane and bad as possible, to be honest with you. So, yeah, I don't want to have to be honest and go see a movie by him, which I will go watch it, and have to come out and say anything nice about that jackoff. That's how I feel about that idiot. But if I have, you know.
I kind of want to know, like, I'm not going to see it in the theater. I just am not.
I don't blame you.
But
I'm too dumb. I'll
see it, you know, at some point. And,
yeah.
I mean, it helps me to kind of know what I'm about to watch in a case like this, because I'm not excited about it at all. I'm just kind of going, oh, God, I'm going to have to slog through this. kind of like I had to watch the new Star Trek movies.
Yeah. Yeah, they're painful. And because of those, it's him. So, I have nothing but contempt for him anyway. So,
right.
So I get. But look, these people who were squawking about the spoilery thing, Michael, I'm totally with you on that. But I guess I'm not entirely insensitive to what they're saying.
Well, you're not going to go posting spoilers on Retroblast.
No.
All I did was create a graphic to promote this podcast, and that's what
right.
He got up in arms about.
He got mad, and it's just a picture.
Did they get mad?
It's
a picture of J.J. Abrams. That's been
oh, my God.
Standing by.
Some spaceship.
Yeah, well, it's actually the X-Wing.
No, it's not. We're going to talk about that.
Well, it's that music.
No, it's a weird-looking one. By the way, I did last night when you talked about it, one of my first reactions was, oh, boy, they're going to love this. This will be a controversial one because there will be people who will be the spoiler butthurt.
Right, right. But you know what? We've already all warned them.
They can't be butthurt because I said, spoiler alert. I said, this is a spoiler show if you don't want to know about it. And
right.
Like, some people were like, thanks for telling us up front so that we don't. I'm not out to ruin anybody else's fun, but, you know, people can talk about it, especially if it's posted everywhere. Hey, and in case you're listening now and, like, you haven't caught on, we're about to talk about these rumors that are on the Internet about Star Wars. So,
I'm telling you, people who have no intention of listening to us because are still aggravated. They're seeing that and they're going, well, yeah, okay, but why would you do a show talking about something this far out? It might not even be true. I guarantee you there are idiots whose first reaction was that.
The reason that I think it's valid to do this, Mike, this show, and on its face, that would be a good point, saying, why are you talking about rumors? You know, but we all knew a year and a half, 2 years before Star Trek Into Darkness came out, we all knew that that was Khan. And he denied it in the press. He called him a different name. They tried to squelch the rumor. Oh, that's not true. My point is, J.J. Abrams, his work has already proven that it can be predicted. And so when it comes to this show with this director, I feel like it does warrant some merit. It does have some merit.
I'm going to tell you how bad the spoiler thing is, though, right now. I don't know if you know about this. Well, you guys aren't Doctor Who fans, but, you know, Doctor Who, it's about a little over a month away, the Peter Capaldi debut, right?
Right.
August 23rd. Some ass actually got a hold to a work print that's in black and white that doesn't have all the CG added yet and leaked it to the internet. Now, some fans are going to watch it. All I did was I watched it. I'm an idiot. I actually wish I hadn't, but I did. Now, you wouldn't believe how many people are mad at me for watching it.
Really?
They're like, yeah, what'd you watch? And they're like, yeah, and they're, don't keep that away from me. Well, I've had like people, oh, don't you dare say anything. I didn't say a fucking word. I mean, on the show, I mentioned it to Matt, but I didn't spoil or anything on it. And I'm going, you know, I regret watching it, not because of those imbeciles, just because now I got to wait over a month to talk to anyone about it.
You know, it's not a game. It's not like the Green Bay Packers, like, playing whatever. You know, it's not like the World Championship football, whatever the fuck it's called, Mike, you tell me. But, I mean, mm-hmm. I can understand, you know, if you didn't catch the game, the big game, the night before, and you've got it on DVR, and you kind of want to watch it later, and you're trying to keep everybody around you from telling you what happened. Oh, did you see that touchdown the last minute? It was so amazing. Like, I get it. Like, I get that. But this is not even – this is all rumors. And the whole reason we're talking about it is just because it brings up other –
Yeah.
Which will become apparent through the talking.
Well, absolutely. Well,
I'll say one last thing on this, and then we'll get on to the spoilers. I know Melinda's ready to get on to these spoilers. but I knew the entire plot of Empire Strikes Back before I actually saw the movie because I had the read-along cassette.
Wow.
That movie was still amazing and captivated me all the way through. So I guess what I'm saying is my whole life I have found that it's the movie that keeps me coming back to rewatch it a lot.
Yeah.
Not the movie that's full of one-time surprises and then is an empty experience.
That's a very good point.
Yeah. So,
although I got to tell you know, Empire, I'm kind of glad I didn't know because I did not know. I skimmed through the comic before it came out. I bought the novel and didn't read it.
Well, see, I'm
kind of glad.
And I would have been too, but I didn't have a choice. I'd seen Star Wars and then Jedi in the theater. So,
oh, okay, I got you.
I'd like the bookends, and so, yeah. So anyway, Melinda, the spoilers.
Spoiler time, you spoiler-er.
Well, so I thought what I would do is, because the spoilers themselves are not that long, I thought I'd just sort of read what it says.
Sure, go ahead.
Then we can discuss. So this is what it says. It says, imagine the standard Star Wars crawl. And when it ends, the camera pans up to the stars. But instead of a spaceship zooming into frame, we see a hand, a severed hand, tumbling through space, a severed hand gripping a lightsaber. I'm glad you're laughing.
I know, right there, as soon as I said that, I started to disbelieve. But
Right. That hand falls onto a desert planet where it is discovered by characters who will be our heroes.
Ugh.
One is Daisy Ridley, the other is John Boyega, who is playing someone trying to change his path in life.
Right, those are the actors' names, by the way.
Correct.
Yes.
Again, I'm keeping it vague here. They recognize the lightsaber as a Jedi relic and decide to return it to the proper people. Their quest takes them off-world, and they meet up with Han Solo and Chewbacca, who aren't flying around in the Millennium Falcon anymore, but are piloting, well, that could be a spoiler. I'll leave it.
Mm.
Anyway, Han and Chewie recognize the lightsaber as Luke's, and they say they haven't seen their friend in 30 years since the event of Return of the Jedi. Mm. So begins a quest to find the missing Jedi Master. Meanwhile, on an ice planet, nefarious forces are building a super weapon, one capable of destroying not planets, but entire solar systems.
Oh, my God.
So.
And this is coming from someone who's apparently very, he has a good track record of getting the rumors true.
Oh, yes. The guy who wrote this preface that this guy has been right very often. And by the way, it does sound very Jar Jar Abrams.
It does.
Yeah, you can almost hear all these guys sitting around a room thinking how clever they are.
Although Lawrence Kasdan, you know, I would think might be have still some brain left, but I don't know.
Well, Lawrence
maybe not.
And also wrote Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, he did.
He had a really bad director, but yeah, Kasdan's not perfect either. You're right. I just thought he would be above those guys, but probably not.
Yeah.
Anyway, continue.
Well, that's the spoiler. That's as much as we got. And people have talked about, you know, other nuances, other small leaks here and there, like
that ship.
There's the ship, number one, that they saw a picture of J.J. Abrams standing next to it, and they're saying, oh, my God, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen, total fanboy out, like where they're talking about how it's the new X-Wing.
Right. Now, I got to get down here on this one, because this and a few other spy photos from the sets in Abu Dhabi, or Dubai, wherever it is, Dubai, in the desert, they have gotten some set photos, as well as this starfighter that J.J. Abrams is standing in front of for this latest UNICEF piece. And all of these sets and ships have been cross-referenced back to actual Ralph McQuarrie and Joe Johnston production paintings for the original movie that were done in, like, 1975. So I'm sitting back going, wait a second. So they don't have an original idea in their head.
No.
They're scraping the bottom of the barrel for all the leftovers from the original trilogy and building those. And the funny thing about the starfighter and everyone on the web, in the media, is calling it the new Star Wars Episode 7 X-Wing fighter. And unfortunately, Star Wars Twitter confirmed, they were like, yes, it's the Episode 7 X-Wing fighter. Well, that vehicle is an exact duplicate of a concept sketch for the X-Wing fighter before it was then adjusted, corrected, and modified to become the X-Wing fighter that we all know.
Wow.
So my point in saying that is you have them taking stuff that was original concept art that was then adjusted for a reason. Like, it was changed before it hit the original movie for a reason. And now they're just farting that back out and thinking that they're real clever about it. And they're calling it an X-Wing fighter. And I'm like, no, that's an old drawing. And if you were really clever, you wouldn't just call it a new X-Wing fighter. You'd call it something else or design your own crap.
Well, they're never going to do anything on their own. You're right. Look, these are the masters of unoriginality we're talking about here.
Right.
He's right there. Look, it's him, it's Bay, it's Zack Snyder, you know, it's David. They're all in the same little – I mean, he's right there with those schlocks.
Well, it just sounds to me like, you know, okay, remember how they said that they erased the extended universe or whatever they called it? They said, you know, wow, Quickie really is Quickie. Bye, Quickie.
Bye, Quickie.
They said that they erased the expanded universe so that they could, I don't know, right the ship of Star Wars. Remember how they did all that a few months ago? Well, here's the sad part, Mike, is that, first of all, the starfighter that we've been talking about, do you remember the Han Solo books that came out right after the original Star Wars movie? There were three of them.
At Star's End and what was the other one? There were a couple of Han books and an even Lando books later.
Han Solo at Star's End, Han Solo's Revenge, and Han Solo's Legacy.
Okay.
In Han Solo at Star's End, which was published in 1979, I believe, there is a scene where Han Solo and the female character in the book named Jessa, they have to get into old starfighters and combat this threat. The starfighters are called Z-95 Headhunters. Well, obviously, it's a novel, so there's no pictures.
Right.
Well, then West End Games decides to make a role-playing game in 1987 to commemorate the 10th anniversary of Star Wars, and it's a long-running role-playing game, Dungeons & Dragons-style, you know, books and all that stuff. Well, in their source book, the first source book they printed, they wanted to flesh out all the different vehicles and creatures that your character could interact with and give all the stats. And they decided they wanted to go beyond the stuff that was in the movie. So they mined those books, because this game was created before the books in the 90s. This game only had so much to draw from. So they read Han Solo at Star's End, read about the Z95 Headhunter, said, that's interesting. So they went back to the original sketches, and they used the concept sketch of the X-Wing fighter because it looked very proto-X-Wing compared to the one that finally made it into the movie. And they said, you know, this could be the Z95 Headhunter, the precursor to the X-Wing fighter. And so that's what it became. And then in the Star Wars games, like TIE Fighter and X-Wing versus TIE Fighter and X-Wing Alliance,
yeah,
the Z95 Headhunter is in it. And it looks exactly like that stupid ship that Abrams is standing in front of. But here's the deal. Between that, then ganking that, and then they say, oh, well, we're using Luke's hand and Luke's lightsaber, which was the entire crux of the Zahn trilogy, and then saying there's a weapon that's going to destroy an entire solar system, which was the plot device of the Jedi Academy trilogy called the Sun Crusher.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing original that they're doing in this movie, if the rumors are to be believed.
And yet they're still they came out so emphatically crapping all over the expanded universe, yet they're going to be ripping it off here and there.
Right. I guess,
unbelievable.
I'm sorry. I'll be quiet so everybody else can talk.
No. Go ahead.
No, I'm just sitting here thinking to myself, you know, we already joked about the fact that the two Star Trek movies were beat for beat the same movie, just with different window dressing.
Right.
And now, you know, I said in a video a few months ago that Abrams will probably do the same plot for Star Wars because he said he's Star Wars Star Trek.
Yes.
And now what's happening? If this is to be believed, it's another stupid super weapon that can destroy even more crap.
Yes.
It's
a super weapon that can destroy, like, for example, in this first piece of crap from 09, it was red matter, and it was that big old stupid Romulan mining ship, but it had the power to, you know, to create black holes and shit like this. Then he's got the big dreadnought that's 10 bazillion times bigger than any other starship. It's very believable that it's going to be something that can destroy. You can't destroying a planet's passé now, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. But what good is it to blow up something bigger? I mean, are we going to get to the point where in Star Wars Episode 9, there's something that when you turn the key, it'll destroy the whole universe? Because
yes.
At that point, nothing becomes. At that point, mass destruction isn't compelling anymore. It's already not compelling.
Yep.
I don't know. I guess I'm looking for a character thing. And when I hear about, oh, there's an ice planet and there's a sand planet, but they're not Tatooine and Hoth. It's like, it doesn't matter if they're not. It still screams that you don't have an original idea in your head.
Of course he doesn't.
I'm sorry to go off on a rant.
No.
I'm sitting back because this guy couches himself as being, and everyone around him who talks about him and how, oh, they got him for Star Wars. He's the most creative, original guy in Hollywood right now. It's like, I don't see any evidence to back that up.
Has anyone said that?
Well, they all talk about how he's a visionary.
Oh, yeah. Ugh, God.
Like, a visionary implies that you have a new direction and you're an innovator. And
right.
Have a vision.
Right.
Yeah. No.
I don't see a lot of vision from this guy. I just kind of see him as, like, I don't know, like the Walmart of filmmakers. I don't know. I just... I don't know. What are your thoughts? I don't mean to... What do you both think? I don't mean to capitalize.
No, sorry. Melinda?
I don't know as much, although I know a little bit about what Michael was talking about in terms of the Zahn book, but I think that in general, if I'm just looking at the leak in and of itself, not even comparing it to what's already out there, it doesn't, at least with the information that we're given, it doesn't really make any damn sense. Like, first of all, you've got the scene in Empire, which I assume we're talking about, where Luke loses his hand, unless, like an article I read, he's lost his other hand at some point, and it was floating around out in space holding a lightsaber. But knowing human anatomy as I do, generally if you cut off someone's hand, the muscles, I mean, they may contract, and they may even get rigor mortis, but he would probably drop his lightsaber. Like, I don't see the two staying fused together. But even with that, how did his hand get out into space? Like it fell down that tube in the on Bespin. I mean, I'm sorry, yeah, on Cloud City. And how did it then come out of the atmosphere? Because there's a planet below that. There's it's not just out in space.
Right.
So presumably there's some form of gravity. And, like, I don't really understand because, like, it seems to me something like that would burn up in the atmosphere of that Earth or that planet as it's leaving the atmosphere, going out into space. And then, you know, it's just going to somehow magically find this planet that's inhabited by all these humans and these particular humans and not burn up in the atmosphere on reentry and go in and land. And
30 years later,
and yeah. they're going to see it and go, oh, this is a Jedi weapon. And the response, let's just take all of that as a given. Like, if you're in that situation 30 years later, you go, oh, if I saw that, I'd be like, hey, I wonder how much I can sell this for, you know?
Yeah.
Like, or if I'm charitable, like, hey, maybe I can donate this to a museum. I'm not going to go, let's fly off the planet at great expense and risk to ourselves to go try to find this sin or the people who would need to have this thing. Like, it's not like it's a rare weapon. It's a lightsaber, which lots of people had lightsabers, and the Jedi's may have all been destroyed. We don't know. But it doesn't seem super important. It's not like the key to the universe, right?
Yep.
So they leave the whole planet, and doing some other reading, I found that the guy in this pairing, who is supposedly the main character of the film, is a stormtrooper gone rogue. So you're thinking, well, so I guess they're trying to answer the idea that all stormtroopers are not clones,
right,
of Boba Fett's dad. And so they go off. They happen, just magically happen, to come across and run into Han Solo and Chewie and show them this tool, right?
Yeah.
They go, oh, well, that was Luke, but we haven't seen him in 30 years. And then, even if you take all of that as a given, like, that the response by them, if they have, like, fallen out of contact or had a falling out or whatever the fuck happened, that their response would be, well, we better hunt him down now. Why? Like, you knew he lost his hand years ago. It's not like that's an indication that he's in some sort of danger that you need to go and find him urgently. So why does that then motivate Han and Chewie to stop whatever the hell they're doing and go urgently look for Luke Skywalker all of a sudden 30 years later?
Yeah, actually, the reaction from any guy would be, especially if they know that their friend is okay and whatever, they'd laugh about it over a drink. They'd be like,
yeah,
these kids found our bloody hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that also makes me ask, just as a side question, did they remove the hand from the lightsaber and they're just returning the lightsaber, or are they still carrying around Luke's hand at this point?
Oh, my God.
That's interesting.
And
do they have it in a sack? They're, like, just holding his hand.
And,
like,
again, it didn't burn up in the atmosphere unless it was the metal hand.
Is it mummified, or is it, like, a skeleton? Because normally human remains, like, decay.
Midichlorians.
Maybe they're pulling a Harry Hamlin, and they can't show it to anybody, or they'll turn to stone.
Maybe.
No, I think the midichlorians kept it from burning up in the atmosphere.
Oh, man. Don't even go there.
Oh, shit.
And then, at the end, when they're talking about all the crap and toss, you're like, okay, so the Empire, it doesn't really tell us, like, the status of anybody. Like, is the Empire not in power? Or did the like win again, and so we're back in the days of the Republic? What we don't know the political struggle, because we know that's what Star Wars and the prequels was all about, was the politics. So but why would the Empire take an old rebel base, if it is Hoth, why would they go there to work on their weapon?
For the same reason that Obi-Wan Kenobi would hide his mortal enemy's son in the place where his son grew up.
Because they're idiots.
Star Wars, it's modern Star Wars logic.
And there's the thing, if any of this, let me put it to you like this. It all sounds so unbelievably stupid, which is why I'm inclined to believe it.
Me too.
However, it could be a red herring. They're trying to deflect people by making up really dumb shit to, you know, stick them out there, like, you know, misinformation. But I'm going to go with, even if that's the case, let's say it is all misinformation. It's stupid enough for me to go, wow, it's got Jar Jar Abrams involved. There's no level of idiocy that will surprise me. So that's why if it's true, if these spoilers are true, then I definitely believe it's Hoth. Because there's no originality. I think it's an Iceland. It's going to be Hoth. We got to have Tatooine in there, too.
Well,
because we just have to.
Like, that's the kind of thing they would put in because they're trying. That's the way they pander to us.
Right. Fan wink, as Bex calls it.
Yeah. They just go, well, we don't actually have to put anything of real meaning in there. We'll just give them these cheesy little, like, ham-fisted
visual references.
Mm-hmm.
To things in the other movies, or like make a pun joke, like I got a real bad feeling about this. Oh, ha, ha, you said that, remember? Because you said that in the other movies. Yeah.
Exactly, it'll have that. I guarantee that someone will say that.
Yeah, but
it'll probably be Han.
It'll have to be one. No, it'll have to be one of the new characters.
Oh, that's true.
So that they are carrying on the tradition of the original.
Yeah.
People. So anyway. I guess overall, whether or not that's true, I just feel like that is the level of writing that we would probably have to expect. And it's just still infuriating to me that the people will go, well, but I still think it might be a good movie. It really does infuriate me. And
me too.
I mean, I know that makes me a bad person, but I'm really okay with that.
I think... We have slightly different reasons for why it infuriates us. I know it's you because not just because of Abrams. I know it's because how you feel about Lucas in general, even though he's not involved in this one, and just in the inanity of it. But for me, a lot of that, I'll admit, a lot of it is Abrams in the sense that anyone thinking this guy could do a good job with something like Star Wars, I don't know, anyone looking forward to this thing just automatically sends me up the wall, though.
Yeah, likewise.
And I do feel kind of guilty about that. I'm like, you know, what do you care? Let them watch this. It's just, I don't know. I don't know, Michael.
I think for me, why it drives me crazy is because I have this feeling that there are going to be, and I know, I don't even, it's not a feeling, it's knowledge. I know for a fact that no matter how bad it is, and it will be bad,
yeah.
Going to be lots of people, even people that I greatly like and think are smart, cool people,
mm-hmm.
going to watch it and go, well, I kind of thought it was cool. And I'm going to, on some level, have to hate them. Like, it's not a I have to look down on them.
You almost feel like an outcast in a way. You're like, man, just you're so isolated from people who will go, oh, come on, man, lighten up. Star Trek, it was awesome, man. It was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. What's wrong with it?
I do. I kind of, it's enraging in a way. It's like, I don't know. I feel like there's something like a giant elephant in the room. I'm the only one that will see it or acknowledge it, and everyone around me is just going, no, it's fine. There's nothing here.
Welcome to my world. I've been going through that since 2009, really, with Jar Jar Drek, and then kind of pretty much with Man of Rubber.
Yeah.
A few other things. And you've been going through it, you know, really with the prequels.
Although a lot of people don't like the prequels. Like
that's true. You have some company there.
Well, I have company. I mean, there are a lot of people who do rabidly like them.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's actually increasing. Like, I think that when they first came out and like, maybe, like, a couple years after they came out, a lot of people really hated them. But now there's this weird thing where people shift, and I don't know if it's because time has passed, but they go, I think we were a little harsh on the prequels. I see that all the time in articles. Like, I see, you know, when you look back on the prequels, they're really not that bad. I'm like, what?
Wow.
They're worse now than they used to be. Like, they just, oh my
are worse. I'm far tougher on him now than I used to be. I'm the total opposite of that. When I first saw him, it was so numb because of Jedi, because I didn't expect much. I was like, I don't know. Were they really that bad? And then you watch them a few more times. For me, I needed to watch them a number of times.
Yeah.
And I needed it. It was a real slow poke on really knocking on the prequels. And to me, they still couldn't just leave me numb.
Right. Yeah, there's not a lot of feeling there.
No.
But that brings up a good point. You said that, you know, the prequels left you numb because we talked about it a lot, that Return of the Jedi was the one that really broke the camel's back for you.
Yep.
The whole plot point that they've revealed, which may or may not be true, that Han Solo and Chewbacca aren't in the Falcon, haven't seen Luke in 30 years, and presumably not Princess Leia either, and yet this is supposed to be 30 years after the events of Return of the Jedi, right?
Yeah.
I'm gonna go around the horn here for a minute to see if this makes sense, because I'm gonna have to talk my way into this. But you could say that in human lives, you know, a lot of things can happen in 30 years and blah blah blah. Okay, right, fine, I get that. But we're talking about an entertainment franchise that has been basically on pause since 1983, regardless of how many years you put into it, or how many years have passed. People's last impressions of their favorite characters was, for better or worse, and you and I agree that it was worse. There was an original plan, and they screwed it up, and Gary Kurtz walked away. But for better or worse, the original ending of Return of the Jedi is that Han and Leia are together.
Yep.
And Luke is alive. Everyone seems to be in good spirits, and we want to see our old friends again in the next film, no matter how long how much time has passed.
Right.
Now, as a microcosm and as a point of comparison, may I mention Firefly versus Serenity?
Mm-hmm.
That was only a 3-year gap between the end of the TV show and the movie. And what did it do? Oh, a lot happened in that 6-month period, fictionally, between the last episode and this movie. And everybody on the ship hates each other. And it's like, this is kind of a leap that I can't really get my head around. Now imagine that you've had that impression of these characters for 31, 32, 33 years and on pause. And now they're saying, we're going to throw you into a movie where Han Solo and Chewbacca don't have their ship. They're old. They're grizzled. They haven't seen their friends in 30 years because of some mystery falling out or tragedy. Are we really going to start out this movie satisfied with anything?
Well, I hate to do this.
It's dark. It's dark. And
well, again, it goes back. I hate to. I hate to feel like a broken record. But we are. I know that there's an outdated term, huh? This is modern day. We talk about this with a lot of films. This is exactly what you get from the modern day whiny culture that we live in now. They can't just be friends who maybe. Okay, you know, the thing says, well, we hadn't seen Luke in a few years. But why does it have to be 30 years? And everything has to start out on as a downer. And everything has to start out as everyone's, oh, so woe is me. It's going to start out with ultra bleakness and ultra just absolute bunch of emo crybaby crap about we haven't seen each other in 30 years because we had some kind of tiff. Nobody wants to see that. Well, I'd say that. Maybe I'm wrong. I keep forgetting what time I live in. But all I know is, even if I didn't care about the Jar Jar shit and I was looking forward to this thing, and in the first couple of minutes I find out, wait a minute, what do you mean you haven't seen Luke in 30 years? Right after Jedi was all over, and he hasn't seen Leia in all these years. You know what? I don't need to be depressed. Suck my nutsack. I'm out of here.
Right. Exactly my point. That you nailed it on the head. It's like, you know what? Whether or not I wish that Return of the Jedi had ended the way it should have, in a more darker, bittersweet kind of way, that's irrelevant. The point is that it ended the way it did.
Exactly.
Ended the way it did, and you need to honor that by actually being a decent writer.
You can't just pretend that it didn't happen.
No, you can't.
Just screen them, like, back-to-back one day. Like, that's...
They think they're being clever. I can hear them from across the country in that writing room saying, this is so clever, man. We are such good writers. This is sophisticated. This is edgy. This is interesting. We're going to really turn it upside down. We're going to defy everyone's expectations of these classic characters, and that's good. That's good shit. And it's like, no, It's not. You're missing the point. You are out of touch.
And again, I'm hoping you're right that they're out of touch, but I'm wondering if the modern day audiences won't eat this up.
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I've seen, like Michael pointed out, it's a really good analogy, the Firefly Serenity contrast. And
yeah.
It feels like that. Like, you know, you have this beloved thing, and you're bringing it back, but you're going to make it all dark and edgy and weird and then, you know, potentially kill people, kill characters. Hey, spoiler alert, Watch Dies.
Yeah, book two.
But, you know, then you've got sometimes every once in a while you get like a movie like, and this is a completely different type of movie, but like Veronica Mars,
mm-hmm.
where they go, yeah, well, we're making this movie, but we're probably only going to make this one, and it's really for the fans. We're doing this for the fans. And so we want to give the fans what we know they want. We know that the fans want this character to be with this character and to end up together at the end instead of saying, well, she would never actually be with that character. So we're going to make sure that they don't end up together and that she does this other thing. And it's like then as a fan, you're still walking away from that ungratified. So I have this feeling that that's what's going to happen is we're going to – it's hard, first of all, for us to see these characters that are so iconic – from 30-plus years ago as older people because, first of all, it's going to remind us that we're all fucking 30 years older, right?
Yeah.
So that's already – you're coming in at it – like, I don't know that they're thinking about it like this, but you're coming in with a big disadvantage because if you don't do it really well, then you're going to end up just like with the Indiana Jones crap, making everyone just fucking feel old and bad about themselves. So, like – you don't want to play up things like Han Solo, who was like one of the most awesome characters ever,
mm-hmm.
being like this grumpy old man with his giant ape dog, you know, on a, you know, who's lost everything and is down on his luck or whatever. I don't know. I don't know if that's what they're going to do, but if he doesn't have the Falcon anymore, you know, I seriously doubt, although this would be really funny, I seriously doubt that these characters are going to be living in suburbia on some planet, being the equivalent of minivans and, you know, schlubbing their kids back and forth to school.
Well, nobody wants that, but there is a middle ground.
Well, right. But I mean, honestly, that would be more realistic after the ending of Jedi.
Well, but there's another way to look at it. If you roll off the end of Jedi and you need to start another story, if Jedi is the return to harmony, then what you have to do for the next story is show harmony being spoiled by something. Like, you see that there's been 30 years of peace and prosperity and all this kind of stuff because that's what people have in their minds on pause at the end of Return of the Jedi. And then you see the new threat emerge. You don't start in the middle of Mad Max.
Yeah.
You know?
Not with Star Wars, you don't.
No.
Not only that, this is supposed to be a quote-unquote new beginning. Even if you don't like Phantom Menace, it didn't start out – it wasn't as a complete and utter downer. I mean, it may not be a good – it's obviously not a good film, but it was trying to be, you know, start out – we set up what's going on. We bore people who actually surviving out of a coma who see through the whole thing. At the end, it ends on a positive note, and the whole time there's bad and good, but there's not – it doesn't automatically open, just like the, you know, episode four. It doesn't open you up making you want to slit your wrist in the first 5 seconds.
Right, but yes, exactly. But the mistake it made was not so much the tone it opened with, but just the fact that it started with the line, the taxation of trade routes in dispute. Now, we can all agree that if that's the one thing people are arguing about, nobody has it all that bad. But – it's still not – you're right. I'm going off on a tangent.
No, you're right. I'm saying you wait to the second one to get kind of a little bit darker than you set up the peril, and then you know, in other words, the second one usually should be the one that kind of starts – you know, you start out with a positive note, like, hey, we're back, we're doing this. Second one, you kind of go, all right, we're in trouble now, and then the third one's theoretically supposed to be the one that wraps it up and saves the day. But if you're going to start out on a downer for the very beginning, It's not even smart at all.
I think that they see it as a downer. I'm pretty sure they're going to approach it like, you know, oh, this is just a way to reopen this chapter of this story and pick up, you know, where we left off and introduce these new characters who I'm sure will be quipping and be funny and interesting and, you know, like they'll have action-y scenes like they did in, you know, Return of the Clone War movie, the second installment, whatever the hell that thing was, where, you know, at the beginning where they're sort of trying to, like Obi-Wan and Anakin are sort of going back and forth where they're doing that stupid chase scene through the city, you know?
Yeah.
I imagine something like that as they're trying to leave the planet and, you know, things like that so that you get an idea of their banter back and forth. I'm sure they'll think it's action-packed and, you know, funny and cool and special effects are amazing. I can already hear that. I'm fairly certain it's just going to be very special effect-laden and not heavy story. But even with, like, that whole synopsis that I just sort of went through, the person who wrote the first article that I read was talking about how this is a highly character-driven piece. And I'm like, where are you getting that?
Oh, he doesn't understand the meaning of that term, apparently.
Well, I don't know. A lot of people these days probably don't because there's so few movies in this genre particularly that really do that well anymore.
No, that's for damn sure. I mean, this is going to be more reminiscent of, if you had to compare it to something in terms of modern-day blockbusters, it's going to be more a cross between Michael Bay, Transformer-type crap, and the DC downer movies, as opposed to Marvel, even though they had some of their movies, Marvel trying to be definitely a more lighthearted series.
Right, right.
Yeah, I would imagine, because the prequels even were pretty damn dark. Like,
yeah.
Episode 3 was Jesus.
They were contradictory dark, too, because the first one opens up and is so bloodless because they're afraid to do it. You know, they don't kill beings. They kill machines all over the place in the first two.
Right.
It's just about slaughter, you know, it was about wrecking robots for two movies. Then all of a sudden, in the third one, he decides to kill kids and stuff.
Although oddly, in the third film, the main, I guess, main bad guy, aside from Palpatine, was a big robot bug.
True. True. Yeah, and again, a lot of people were criticizing him right after Phantom Menace came out, saying, "All right, dude, really? You have no stones. You don't even kill people. You won't want to show Jedi slicing up people or beings. You're constantly showing them wrecking robots because you're trying to sell this to 8-year-olds. And then in the third one, he kills 8-year-olds.
Well, I mean, I went through a phase recently where I watched and rewatched the Red Letter Media reviews of these films. And I just, you know, just thinking about it now makes me laugh. Where it's like, does anybody now want to argue that these films were made for children?
Yeah, no shit.
Now is the time to do so. You know, it's like.
And this one won't be kid friendly either.
Well, I'm sure it won't. But, you know, it'll have plenty of, you know, eye candy. Like with special effects, just by to like, you know, make the kids happy that normally are staring at their cell phone. So now they can stare at a screen that's just zipping by, and it doesn't have to have any continuity. It's just like to watch bright lights flashing. Basically, just bright lights flashing on the screen would be good.
And even if this, what we've read here and talked about here, even if it's not true, it will be something equally dismal and idiotic, but it really does kind of feel like that might be we're gonna hear a lot of misinformation up until the time it's released, and then watch us be sitting around after, even if you don't see it in the theater. I know I'm a dummy. I'm gonna go and watch if I go see it and come back to you and go, you know what? That's exactly what this idiot did. It's about a goddamn Jedi hand, and.
Hand of Fate.
Oh, yes.
It'd be so hilarious.
Oh.
Like, if that was the subtitle.
It's so sad because it was ganked from another story. A story erased.
Yeah, they erase it. They're usually picking and choosing.
They could steal it and plagiarize it without it being called plagiarism.
That's also hilarious. A lot of people look, even though my son is really big into a lot of the expanded universe stuff, I haven't messed around with it. I respect it. This is not something I've gotten into that much. I understand why people really love it, because all we have is a few movies, and, you know, people want more. Geeks want more than that, so they... A lot of people really love expanded universe stuff, and they're getting crapped on.
Well, yeah, they are, but I'll tell you this. I think we talked about this before. I gave up on expanded universe because it got so bad, and that was before the prequels ever came out. I was reading the books to get my Star Wars fix.
Yeah.
And the books started to get so bad, including that one with that sun crusher, solar system destroying weapon, that I finally just said, that's it, I'm done, I'm out, I've had it. And I stopped. But even with that being said, I still don't like the idea that, okay, so I thought it was a dumb idea then. I still don't think it's right for them to erase it and then steal it.
Sounds eerily similar to something else done in 2009 where a son of a bitch came along and said, hey, you know that old Star Trek universe? No. We're changing that.
Right.
It's not your father's Star Trek. And if you don't like it, you're a dickhead, according to Leonard Nimoy.
Right.
And so if you like the expanded universe, guess what? It's garbage. It's garbage. It's gone. We're not going to honor it. But we'll steal from it. We're just not going to honor it.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the frustration, because Timothy Zahn's trilogy that started the whole EU in 1992 or whenever, 91 or 92, whenever it came out, revitalized Star Wars and really ramped up for the resurgence of popularity. Of it, their use of the hand and the lightsaber was a surprise at the end of the trilogy. It was that everybody was trying to get to this one evil guy who they knew was doing something nefarious. And in the background, the emperor who's now dead, his protege, who was not on the Death Star when it blew up. She was in another system on another mission.
Yeah.
She was told in her final orders were, if something happens to me, you have to kill Luke Skywalker. And so she spends the whole trilogy of books, you know, hunting Luke Skywalker down, and then she's got him, you know, captive for a while, and then he's trying to, in that sort of Luke Skywalker way, try and, you know, turn her to the good side or whatever. And then at the end of the series, in the climax, the evil wizard, evil Jedi guy that they all converge on, he reveals that he has one part of his plan as a sort of insurance policy is that he has cloned Luke Skywalker, and he was going to replace him or use him for some nefarious purpose after he killed the real Luke Skywalker. And he cloned him from the hand that was discarded on Cloud City. And so that's how he was able to clone Luke Skywalker. And then the Emperor's protege ends up in a lightsaber fight with that clone and, quote-unquote, kills Luke Skywalker. So she's able to fulfill her destiny without actually killing the person that's now her friend. And it's a much more impactful and clever use of that whole hand lightsaber thing.
Plus, Mara Jade is just awesome.
Right. And so I guess my point in saying this is not only are they ganking stuff that's already been used, but they're not even using it as well.
Naturally. And that's the Thrawn trilogy, right?
Right, exactly.
Jonathan's a huge some people really love Thrawn. They love that character.
I'll put you this way. If you have to accept the way Return of the Jedi's events roll out, then the Thrawn trilogy would have been the perfect episode 7, 8, and 9 for the aftermath of Return of the Jedi. That would have been the way to go.
Wow.
And it was great. It was a great series of books. In fact, I would say it's the only great series of books that came out of the expanded universe, because I got rid of everything but those.
They have this guy who is really good at doing all the voices, who is rabbing. It's like 20-something hours of books, of all those books by Zahn that Jonathan's hooked on. He loves those audio books. And that guy's really good. That guy, with all the sound effects and everything they do, It's really entertaining. If you ever hear those.
Just an audiobook?
Yeah, the audiobooks of the Thrawn trilogy. The guy doing, I don't know the guy's name, but he's amazing, and it's really good. Jonathan loves that stuff.
Okay. So, I've always wanted to listen to those.
Those, he recommends them. Again, they're, I don't know how many, like, ridiculous amount, long, really long, because it's all there on a bridge, like 20-something hours or something crazy like that. But it's just really, really good. He highly recommends it. I've been hearing some of it recently, too, and it is really good.
Okay, awesome. I will grab those because I don't often have time anymore to sit down and read a book, but on the way to work, I could play it in my car and enjoy it.
Yeah, I think you'd like that. I'll find out exactly which ones he's talking about. I think it's just the whole Thrawn series, which, you know, because it's the name of the guy, and I'll send it to you. So.
Right. Okay, cool. Thanks.
But this, this really does seem like it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean it's sad.
Anybody. He thinks he's more clever than he is. He's like, if I just say it's not Khan, then everyone will believe it. And it's like, did we ever really believe it? No, we all knew it was Khan. And guess what? It ended up being Khan because you're not clever.
No, he's not clever at all. He's lied his ass off for years about that. This is what now? This one's about, what, a year and a half away?
Yep, year and a half away.
Okay. I don't know. I would like to see what his reaction is to this leaking out. If he doesn't react to it much, it might be a red herring, though.
Maybe, I guess. Or maybe he's learned his lesson not to react because it put eggs in space from into darkness.
Yeah, it's true. I don't know. Do you think wouldn't you expect him or someone at the hype go, look, that is true, even if it is?
Well, no. I mean, he's not going to admit it's true. But I guess, to me, the bigger question is, like, what would be a good alternative that he could actually create? Like, is there anything that he could do that would be, like, awesome and good?
Seven?
Yeah. I think so. Well, of course, it's him, so he could. But, I mean, no, if I were just to leave my Jar Jar prejudice aside, you mean?
Yeah. You know, like anybody, whether or anybody, like what could be done considering that we have to go with the way that Jedi ended.
Right. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. So what could that be?
I would want to see, again, I haven't read much of the expanded universe stuff either. So I'm not, you could make a case where they probably should follow some of that, but let's just say they're not going, realistically, they don't want to do it. They'd rather steal from it. But if you just forget that ever happened, or you don't know about it, I would say I still would want some of the elements. I would want Luke to be leading a Jedi Academy or something like that. I don't think he needs to be. You know, I've got this image of him being just a carbon copy of Obi-Wan Kenobi from New Hope, sitting in or from Yoda from Empire, sitting somewhere on a planet by himself, being a hermit. I can see it coming a mile away. And dragged back into action.
Yeah, I see him probably being like a, because you know all the major characters have gone through all these things, which makes them like scarred emotionally. So they're like Frodo at the end of Lord of the Rings, or
right,
you know. So yeah, he'll be a loner.
I would want them to have a Mara Jade type character or something like that. I would want them to say that Luke has been, you know, trying to rebuild the Jedi for 30 years. I would like to, you know, see Han. And, in other words, I wouldn't start out necessarily on a downer. They're 30 years older. That's going to be a downer. Getting old is a downer in and of itself. But I would like to start out with them all out there, them not having to spend the first two or three quarters of the movie reassembling everybody and finding everyone else has been in the pits of despair for 20 years and 30 years.
Yeah, you know, I think it'd be kind of cool. These characters, if you look at it, overcame tremendous odds and became sort of, at least internally, each of them had a big arc and overcame a lot of things. Like Leia's entire planet was destroyed, and she kept fighting and fighting until she won this big war for her cause. And Han Solo had more of an internal struggle where he started off being a loner who was like, I don't care about anybody, but then he did care about someone, and he realized his own humanity, and Skywalker became a Jedi, and, you know, came from, like, he was no longer this little farm boy who was just a kid. He's like this powerful Jedi who had self-confidence. So all three of them are very powerful people who were extremely successful, and so there's no reason to think that they wouldn't then continue to be successful in whatever, like, areas they decided to go into, whether Luke continues his studies as a Jedi and becomes, like, the super powerful Jedi, and Leia seems like she would be more of, like, almost like a politician. She was, like, you know, head of a lot. I mean, I don't know if she still has, she doesn't have a planet anymore because they were all freaking murdered, but she seems like she would be somewhere in a position of power. And Han Solo is like the master pilot guy and things like that. So it just seems like they would all still be successful. It doesn't seem like they would go from like riches to rags.
Rebuilding the Republic.
Yeah, exactly. Like they would have different roles that wouldn't necessarily all be like, you know, Queen Amidala, very like, oh, I'm a politician and so I don't have any emotions. But I mean, she's more of like, I'm going to make shit happen. Leia is like, I'm going to make shit happen. I'm going to go out there, and if it's not right, I'm going to make it right. She's like an activist. She's a rebel. She's like
right.
a terrorist, you know, essentially. So it just seems like, I don't know. I don't really buy the idea that they wouldn't somehow have connection to each other, even if they're not living down the street and carpooling every day. They would still, it seems like, be in contact and be successful.
Right. Plus, I have a problem with, let's say if your opening premise is they may be, if they're a little estranged from each other, does it have to be 30 years worth, though?
Right. Exactly.
That's another thing. You say, wait a minute, right after Jedi, their lives went into the crapper, and they didn't see each other in 30. You know, I can see it. They go, look, and something happened, and I haven't seen Luke in 10 years. So that's even a stretch. But, you know, in other words, no, it's got to be this 30 years crap, and his hand is in space for... Well, I can't even think of any good reason for his goddamn hand to be in space, if that's the hand from Empire.
Yeah.
Unless it's the fake hand.
Like, well, so what, did he lose other hands? Is he just, like, losing hands? Left and
yes. Left? He uses the Force for everything now.
Yeah.
I don't know, though. Well, what would you do to make it good, Michael? I mean...
Well, okay. As you know, I don't believe that there's any real point in trying to do a sequel to Return of the Jedi at this point because the plan was broken back in 1981. When Gary Kurtz and George Lucas had that falling out, the plans for Revenge of the Jedi got burned up. Mm-hmm. So to me, not to be too much of a rebel, no pun intended, I firmly believe that if you're going to do a Star Wars Episode 7 and you're going to be doing it 30 years after the events of Return of the Jedi, you need to just leave all of those characters in Return of the Jedi, and that's the end of their story. You
yeah.
need to just have new characters and new situations. No more Skywalkers. No more, you know, it's a brave new universe. But you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody had the balls to do that.
No.
Because as we all know, J.J. Abrams loves to say that he's going to make original new adventures with, you know, characters, but never ends up doing it. He always ends up retreading over old ground with just visual cues. And I would do that. I would get rid of all the – when I say get rid of, I don't mean kill them. I simply mean their character arcs ended with Return of the Jedi, and we don't see them again. We see brand new characters.
The most that I could see is them, like, mentioning, you know, one of them in passing so that you get a hint that this is what may have become of them. Or this one is a, you know, great politician, or this one's a whatever the hell they are.
The only characters that I would carry through are the droids. And the droids are supposed to have been the guides for most of these movies. And, of course, they screwed up in Phantom Menace as well. But that's it. That's a big if. But I just wouldn't write about those characters anymore. Their story is over, and it's time to move on.
Well, I agree with that. I guess in more skilled hands, I guess I wouldn't mind bringing those characters back. But the temptation, you're right, they're so old, it's tough to do anything with them. Yeah, we've missed our window on them.
Yeah, like we said earlier, I feel like you're going to end up with several different options. You're going to either have them down on their luck, which is going to be depressing.
Yep.
Or they're going to be totally, like, suburbanized, which is also depressing, especially considering it's a Han Solo. You know, I mean, it was bad enough to be the end of Jedi because he was so neutered. And then,
yes.
Or you're going to get the Leonard Nimoy walk-on onto the movie that basically just feels so
right.
Where you're like, oh, well, this is the way that we're telling the original fans that this is good, and you will like it because Fox says so, you know. So Luke Skywalker approves this message. I'm Luke Skywalker, and I approve this message. I mean, just anything that they do with them is going to feel...
It's going to feel just like the Leonard Nimoy walk-ons in both of those stupid movies. You're right.
It's going to feel like people think they want to see it. That's what they think. They think, well, I'm not going to be satisfied if I don't get to see Luke Skywalker. It'd be so cool to see them all. But it's not. The reality is you think that, but you don't want to see that. It's like Indiana Jones 4. You know, you don't want to see that.
The window's closed on that. I wanted to see it in the 80s. I wanted them back in the 80s, and we couldn't have that.
It's not. They are in their 80s, and you don't want to...
Yes.
Do you remember that photo that I posted right after they announced the Episode 7, the original cast is coming back?
Yeah.
I photoshopped a photo together that showed all of the Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill, and Harrison Ford as they look now, and then over those photos, I put in the portraits of them from 1999 when Phantom Menace came out.
Uh-huh. And, I don't remember that.
Yeah, I'll dig it up somewhere. But the way they looked then, a new sequel with them was totally viable.
Right.
Now?
No way.
It's not due to physical looks in total, but it's also due, like you said, to how many different directions can we go with characters that are now over the age of 65. You know, that's not, as Melinda said, that's not something you really want to see.
Star Wars universe is not one that it's an action. It's kind of action based. It's,
right.
You know, more so than real Star Trek ever was. It's you got to be able to like think fast, think on your feet, and adapt and fight and you know fly ships, but like do it in like a war zone and stuff like that. And that's sort of the vibe and feeling of Star Wars. So it's hard to have someone who's 70 doing those things and really selling it.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not putting older people down. I'm just saying that, you know, people don't understand that Harrison Ford is freaking old. The dude's leg got broken. And, I mean, I know, like, Tori is saying that Obi-Wan was over 65. Yes, but he was the one person who was over 65. And sold it. It wasn't like three geriatrics on leave from the out on a spaceship. You know, I don't know. It just feels like you're gonna just stick them in there to like get the nod from the audience, and it's so.
See, thing about it is, I agree with you on that, but I don't. I kind of see where Tori's coming from. It's almost irresistible to want to see them one more time. If they actually have something to do, if you could pull off giving them something to do that works in the story, then I could go with it. The fact is that's not what's going to happen.
The question then remains, what do you want to see them do, and are you willing to put them at risk of a wacky group of writers that might say what they want to see them do is make the ultimate sacrifice?
Right.
I'm not going to pull any punches about it. I'm not interested in seeing those characters die over the age of 65.
I'm not either. And I'm also not interested in seeing them at all now because it's sort of like, to me, it feels like the same mistake that they made with the prequels, but in reverse. So, like, I don't give a crap about seeing all my favorite characters as little kids. I care about seeing all my favorite characters as my favorite characters as I knew them. I also don't want to see them as really freaking old dudes. I don't care about that. I mean, it's not like Luke Skywalker is my grandfather and I want to go visit him at the old folks' home. And it's like kind of the only way that you could do any of that is to pick one of them and basically make him like an Obi-Wan character so that he's training someone new and have the story be about the new person, which is like the most trite way to bring in a new storyline. But at least that would be like, okay, well, you know, you kind of do that. But, I mean, what are you going to do with them?
That's a good point. Unless you do something really well, good, it's best to leave them off. But no, they don't have the guts to do that. They think this adds. They think, well, look, I mean, like Tori, our friend Tori there, he does want to see them come back. He's not alone. A lot of people. I admit, if it wasn't Jar Jar Abrams, I probably would be leaning and go, you know what? I agree with everything Michael and Linda are saying, but I kind of just love them. I wouldn't mind even seeing them old. And I'm wrong for that because everything you're saying makes the point is right. It's going to be bad because it's going to be really badly handled.
I just don't know if you can handle something like that well.
Probably not. Not well, but we know these guys can't.
I mean, so, like, for example, when you watch the review, like the Red Letter Media review of the last Indiana Jones movie, he talks about all the old people crap. Like, you know, you've got the guy from Transformers, Shia LaBeouf or whatever his name is, but... And while you can hate him or not hate him and hate Transformers, it's not really the point. The point is more like, you know, you're putting Indiana Jones as such an iconic character who is not so much about his character, but it's the action. I think that's true of all of these characters, too. These are not characters. I mean, they're a little more developed than Indiana Jones. But they're not so developed that they're like someone from some drama movie that you've seen. Like, I can't think of one off the top of my head, but
right.
It's still kind of an action movie. So you're thinking of Skywalker, you think instantly of like him holding a lightsaber and doing battle with somebody. But Mark Hamill's kind of an old dude now. So, like, even if he does pick up his lightsaber and he does like a cool Obi-Wan Kenobi kind of thing, it's going to be like you're going to be thinking about him when he was young.
Yes. Which
watching him as he's old because you're going to be thinking about Princess Leia in the gold bikini while you're looking at someone that looks like your grandma. And it doesn't fucking matter if you write her as being the president. You're still going to be a little freaking disappointed because you're going to be remembering how hot she was. And now she looks like your mom or your grandma. And it's just like, it makes you feel kind of bad. Like that's, I know that no one wants to hear that, but that's just what I think. And that's how it's going to make me feel because I can't imagine him handling these characters well.
Well, sometimes when you grow up with, or you live a long, long time with characters that you really love, even if they were only in a few movies or if they were in a TV series, it is kind of a bummer to see them old.
Well, look, this isn't even, like, my favorite series, but, like, Xena, okay? I think Xena's awesome, but I don't want to fucking see her old out, you know, on the, you know,
right.
Fighting some new foe. I don't want to see that. If I'm going to watch Xena, I want to watch Xena, like, as I know her. If I'm going to watch Star Wars and it's going to not have, like, a 20-something... Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia and the 30-something Han Solo, then I think, you know, probably just have new characters. And I'm actually kind of totally fine with that, whether it's from the expanded universe or not. If someone could actually write a damn story instead of having to stand on the, like, prop themselves up on using, let's bring in Harrison Ford and Billy Dee Williams and all these different people from the original movie just so that, like, will have little, like, elbow nudges to the audience. Hey, hey, we can check this out.
Remember,
like,
it's a Star Wars movie.
Remember,
it's
Star Wars.
Yeah.
Cool. And now I'm going to show you some cool special effects. But we don't have to write anything compelling or new.
It's going to ring hollow. I remember how hollow it was every time R2-D2 rolled onto the screen in the prequels. I was like, what's R2-D2 doing in this movie? Oh, yeah, it's a Star Wars movie by name only. Like, I just it never felt right. And again, that has to do with the writing, and it has to do with how R2 was used or not used.
Yeah.
And I think the same thing is true of this Episode 7. I feel like if they just ponied up a brand new story that was really good, that had original characters, original settings, original moments, all that kind of stuff, and it was organically driven, and then R2 shows up at some point as part of that larger story, that would have impact. But I just don't, I don't know. I you know what, with all these situations, I always hope I'm wrong, but I know the odds are not in favor of that. Like,
well, I guess seeing the, I'm sort of with you on that, but I think seeing the main character, seeing those three characters in a limited role is not so bad. I don't expect them to be in a lot of action scenes anyway. Do you, even with these idiots directing it?
No, I mean, whether they are or not, I guess it just feels like no one has the balls to just tell a new story, and not, to me, sticking them in there in any way is patronizing, because it feels like, how valid and good is your movie if you have to rely on that as a device? It's just like when I saw Spock walk, like Leonard Nimoy, in that movie, even though I already thought the movie was bad, that just like pushed it so far over the top to me that it was bad. It was just like, are you kidding me? Like, I don't know. I don't know if you feel that way, Mike.
Well,
it feels so contrived. It feels so like, oh, my God. Like, my IQ just dropped 20 points just by watching.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, I have mixed emotions on that kind of thing, because I think characters are getting – we live in the CW age. Now, Michael, you've talked about how you don't like to see younger versions of superheroes as much, you know, like Teen Titans or them having young kid, groups of kids and stuff.
Right.
Now it's to the point where they will take a show called The Flash, which and this new stupid Flash show coming up, and I call the CW the Logan's Run Network now.
Right.
I mean, if you're over 30, you're like ancient on that friggin' network.
Right.
And they're calling him Barry Allen, and it's this guy, look, he doesn't look a day older, 20, you know, 19 or 20. And there was a time when, you know, the Star Trek films, and again, they were getting pretty old toward the end of those, not compared to not 30 years older like the Star Wars people are now, but, you know, when Motion Picture and Wrath of Khan and some of those were coming out, I love them. I love the Wrath of Khan and Trek 3 and 4. We were, because we were young, again, because I was in my early, you know, Wrath of Khan came out, I was 18 years old.
Uh-huh.
And I already love Star Trek, but other than the motion picture, again, I'm constantly watching the original series, right? Well,
right.
If you just look now, we wish they looked like they did in Wrath of Khan.
Right.
And we wish two of them were alive. But at that time, we were like, damn, they look old. By comparison, they did, because, again, we were kids and everyone looked old to us. On the old show, they looked in their prime. Now in Wrath of Khan, I'm like, damn. And, of course, the movie didn't have a lot of action. It was the greatest Trek movie ever. But we just went with it because it was our Trek characters. If they recast right there, let's say in 1982, if they said, you know what? Yeah, these guys look a little bit old now. Shatner's toupee. Look at Spock, man. He, you know, this is only 1982. Look how old he is. But not long ago, he was on the show. Let's recast him. No one would have put up with it.
Right.
No one would have went to see that crap. Would have said, this is bullshit. We want the ones we want from the TV show. We know they're older. Put them in there anyway, assholes.
Sure.
No one would have taken that. And there were, and yet, so we were, again, young. We were young kids. We were 20. When I was 18, you know, a lot of my friends were just a couple years older than me, going to see Wrath of Khan, loving it. And yet, at that time, to our young eyes, they looked pretty old. They don't look old to me now because I'm older than they were when they did that movie.
I don't think that, like, I don't have a problem with the fact that the actors are older. I'm not like anti-old people. And I mean, I love all of them, and they've done really cool stuff, even some of them recently. Like, I read a lot of Carrie Fisher's books and, you know, stuff like that. It's not so much that. It's the fact that them being shoehorned into the movie, just to sort of do, like, what I assume is probably going to be a little walk-on role or have some little bit part, just to sort of give some sort of nod of, you know, sanction to the new movie, like, oh, well, this movie's valid because the original people are in it. It feels contrived, and therefore, if it was really like organic and actually flowed in, which would be so hard to do,
right,
by the way. But if it was, then it's not like I have a problem. Of course, I love those characters. I've always loved those characters, but I just have absolutely zero faith that anyone would be able to write it in a way that didn't feel really contrived.
Well, I hear you. And I'm just saying, there was a time now where, I mean, we would be put up with the Trek characters getting old, and we didn't mind watching their stories and them getting older.
Sure.
And now no one wants to see that.
But Star Trek is different than Star Wars.
Yes, it is.
And Star Trek's maximum gap between properties was 10 years.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I know it was a lot, but still, when you're 18, those people in Rapticon look pretty old.
True, but they addressed it as part of the story and
right.
saw that we continue to see them age every 2 years after that in the movies. So, in other words, we saw them age on screen in a nice series of intervals, whereas with Star Wars, it's going to be this stark reality. Because most people who are going to walk into that theater, they don't know that Mark Hamill played the Joker on the animated series. They don't know what he looks like now. The only person they know what he really looks like now is Harrison Ford. Everybody else is going to be sticker shock. They're going to be like,
yeah,
oh, God.
Well, yeah, I think that's totally true. Although, of course, there are always going to be us fans, which these movies are not made for.
No.
We're certainly familiar with all these actors. And, I mean, Harrison Ford being, boy, to me, he seems like he's in rough shape. I mean, even before
yeah.
the story that he just had, he just seems like...
He looked pretty old in Ender's Game.
I mean, and Carrie Fisher, by her own admission, has had a lot of like issues with, you know, weight and psychiatric issues and,
sure.
you know, all kinds of stuff. So, you know.
I'm not entirely disagreeing. I'm saying I don't mind seeing them in a limited – you're right. It is pandering, but I don't mind if they're not – let's say if I were actually looking forward to this movie and thought it had any chance to be good, I could go either way. If they said, well, they're not going to be in here, it's going to be – I'd be fine. If it's good, fine. And if they said, yo, we're going to have a little nod to them, we're going to show them, doesn't bother me either. To me, it is absolutely – it's almost irrelevant to whether the movie's any good or not because it's in the hands of people that can't do anything good with them anyway.
Yeah, I guess my argument is more of a general thing. I don't see how the movie could be good.
Right. So it doesn't matter whether they're in or not. It's
yeah.
that director –
I just feel like, for me, considering that, it just feels like an extra, like, you know, I don't begrudge them the opportunity to get back in there and do it again if that's what they want to do. It's not about that. It's just, it's the mentality, it's always for me, the mentality behind the people who are making these films and the production people and all of that, like, thinking about how they can manipulate all of us to get money.
Yeah.
It's not about making a good quality film. It's not about honoring the property. It's not about any of those things. And maybe that's really naive of me to even think that it ever was. But on some level, I feel like people at least used to, when they were making a film, yes, it's always been a money-making venture, but it's also like, well, the way we make more money is by making a really good quality film of whatever it is, whether it's sci-fi or a horror movie or a drama or whatever. And now it's just how can we manipulate people to get them to go into the theater the one time? because it's not like people are going to have – the movie's never going to have a staying power of people watching it 300 times.
No. But I will say – no, go ahead.
No, that's it. I mean, it's like, how many times have you watched the original Star Wars?
I wish I probably lost count at 50, 60, so I don't know. Yeah. I mean, seriously, I could be that high up.
Well, I'm sure Michael's seen it way more than that. I mean, hundreds of times, probably.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to know how many days of my life
you know, it's possible. Think about that 100 times, though. That's a lot. I mean, really? If you're in the 100 range, I might be on Empire. I've got to be over 100 range. It might be possible.
Right. Me too.
And Star Wars close to that. And yeah. Superman 1 close to that.
Yeah.
But really, it'd be fun to know how many times, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Or maybe not.
For a movie like that, you can watch that many times because it stands on its
own. Right.
And I guess my overall point is that these films are never going to be that. And so they're really just trying to find any way that they can put some little, Easter egg in there or little things like that in there so that they can get you to go to the theater and see it and get your money.
No, I hear you. Look, I just think since this has such a bad director, I agree with everything you say about them just using these actors as pandering, but it's not even the biggest problem with this movie. The fact is, it's just going to be a really stupid story. But I say that the only way they could be in the movie and where it won't be annoying is if they are kept down to a minimum. I mean, seeing Luke as an old Jedi Master, I'd have no problem with.
I don't really have a problem with that either. I guess I just feel like they're getting as much of the original cast back as they can, which tells me that the actual story must be really weak.
Yes. In fact, using the word story might be a little bit...
If it was really strong, then maybe they would only need Luke to come in and do like a Spock type of thing where he was just there for like a 2-minute scene in the movie or a 5-minute scene in the movie just to sort of like give a nod to the original. But it's really not about them anymore. It's about you as the new people who are carrying on this war or this cause or whatever the fuck the movie's about. But instead, they've got, like, the whole fucking cast of the original movie in there.
Yes.
Which makes me think that there's zero plot, and it's really just them trying to pander.
Yes. That's the big key, what you just said. Even though I said with a good director and a good story, I wouldn't mind seeing them, the fact is they're going to be very poorly used.
Yeah.
And they're going to be parading them up in front of the screen like, hey, look at them. Look, it's Han Solo. He's old, but he's still Han Solo. There's Leia. She's president or whatever. And there's Luke. He's a grumpy old Yoda-ish hermit probably, Jedi, but instead of a badass Jedi Master.
Back
probably.
And he lives in Yoda's old hut.
I guarantee you that's going to, oh my God, you're so right. That's, Michael,
can I get like a $50 bill if that comes to pass? Because I've got it on tape.
Holy shit, he's going to live on Yoda, on Dagobah. Thanks a lot. Oh, man.
Spoiler alert.
Wow. I just realized you were so right. Michael, do you agree?
I agree. I think that's what they see as clever.
Oh, God. I think even I, who am on, I mean, again, by the way.
I think Tori missed the point. We're not saying Yoda's in the film.
No. He's going to be, Luke will be Yoda.
Yeah, Luke will be the Yoda character.
He'll have a cane. He'll live in the swamp.
And the young, promising young hero will go to him for sage advice.
He'll land there, and R2 will be there, and it'll have, like, some sort of exact moment-for-moment replay of Empire, because they're going to make as many Empire references as possible because it's the best film.
Right. Now, Tori has a point. Yoda will probably make an appearance on Dagobah with Luke as a, you know, from the...
Oh, good, because they do this weird, like, memory, like, appearing thing. So.
Or he'll come back in the living force.
You know, and Luke will probably be projecting his father as a teenager again, which will be just since that guy who Hayden Christensen is no longer a teenager. So maybe he'll be a middle-aged guy now.
He's going to be sitting around on Dagobah talking to life force Yoda and force Hayden Christensen.
Right, but Hayden Christensen will be like an age that he never actually was. You know?
Oh my God!
And he'll be like 35, and
yes, they'll put him in there.
Really weird.
Oh my God! We're making this even worse, which is kind of funny actually.
Or, instead of Yoda baby hatchlings, like Tori says, maybe they'll have little Ewoks running around Dagobah. You know those little fucking Ewoks are going to be in there somewhere. I guarantee you they're going to have little. I wonder if they'll still have zippers on their back.
Well, my good friend, by the way, my good friend Ace reminds me. He says Hamill's been doing some serious conditioning, so he won't. He's hardly a Yoda. Thanks, by the way, Mark. That's a good point. In other words, maybe he won't be just Yoda-ing.
He has to be a Yoda. Like, I'm not saying he'll be like an old, like, withered man. I'm saying, anyway.
He'll be on Dagobah sitting around waiting to come back into action, perhaps.
Yeah, or, I mean, because the other alternative is for him to be living in a cave like Obi-Wan did.
Okay. Well, that's a fair point. He's doing conditioning and stuff, which is fine. You know, I mean, again, this movie with this director, you know, I'm sorry, you know, my good buddy Tori, who's here, has hopes for the film. And, you know, I would not, even if I were capable of it, dash those hopes, Tori. It's just me. I mean, you know, have them all you want. That's cool, man. I hope you, you know, enjoy it. But with this Jar Jar Abrams, it's nothing but hatred coming from me. So I don't have those hopes, but, you know, more power to you if you do, though.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He could be on Dagobah, like, still doing all the workouts that Yoda made him do. Now for no reason whatsoever, but, you know.
Yeah.
Breaking his insurance.
But that's a good point. Since he's, and there's a thing then. So again, I did not realize that. My friend Mark told me. He said that he is, he's doing conditioning and things like that. So does that mean that...
He definitely is. I have no doubt he'll do some big lightsaber battle in the film.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, there you go. Hmm. I wonder who he'll fight then.
Look,
that's another thing. We don't have a villain coming back.
Best actor in the movie. I can guarantee you that. However they use him. Because he's awesome. But
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I don't want to sound like I'm pissing on anyone's hopes for it. Like, again, our good buddy Tori is a good guy, and if he's looking forward to it, look, you know, more power to you. I just can't myself. I can't do anything but laugh because it's Jar Jar Abrams. You know what I'm saying? And then that, and again, people say, oh, you care about, oh, yeah, you just stuck on what he did to Star Trek. Yeah, you know, okay. Maybe. I can't help it. I hate the guy.
Yeah. I think it's just going to be something that the best we can hope for is something akin to, and don't tell me, Mike, but something akin to the Avengers, where it's a fun romp while you're watching it, but it doesn't have a whole hell of a lot of staying power. Like, you're not going to go back and, like I said, watch it 100 times. It's a good movie, and you may get really excited about it that day, but, like, 6 months later, you just kind of don't really remember a lot about it, and it just doesn't.
Yes, well, there's no killing necessary. I differ you with it a little bit. I do like Avengers a lot, but yeah, it's more Avengers is more to me than that. But I see your point, and that's probably what it's going to be. It won't even be like Man of Filthy Steel, Man of Stool, where people get all offended and pissed off about it. Although at first I think they're gonna. But I don't even think there could be all that people getting defensive about it like they have Man of Steel.
Yeah.
I don't think. I don't know. They might. Michael?
I was actually thinking about something related but random. Have any of you been seeing the logo that's been put up for all these different stories from Disney? Just the word Star Wars? The logo has been fancified. It's been that famous font has been changed where it's more angular and.
Does it have Mickey Mouse ears?
No, but it looks very. I don't know. It looks very like Disney Channel, like.
Well.
I mean, in the sense that, I guess what I'm just getting at is, you know, Disney has. We talk about Jar Jar Abrams a lot, but you know, Disney has a hand in all this too, and I was just interested in what you both thought about what the Disney effect is going to be, because they have their interests as well. and they run their own little empire.
I think the Disney effect is going to be that they will say that it's a kid movie, but it really will be a kid movie. As opposed to George Lucas making Episode 3 and saying it's a kid movie, but it's about a guy murdering a bunch of little kids. So I think that they actually do know what it takes to make movies that kids like. I mean, just look at Frozen, and whether
yeah.
you like it or not, they still have their finger on the pulse of what kids enjoy, this generation of kids, and that's their target market. So you have to remember, like, again, I'm going to say it, like, the old characters being in there, are there one little thing they're going to cost us? The rest of the fucking movie is going to be, may not be Jar Jar Binks, but it'll be something equally annoying.
Well, equally?
Yes, equally.
Wow.
And little kid friendly. and as someone who's not a big fan of little kids and little kid movies, that's like, because that's, to me, it's not what Star Wars is. It never was. And people will sit there and argue it all day long. Yeah, these movies are for kids. And I'm like, I don't think so. I think you need to go back and watch the original movie again and Empire. They're not, they have little moments of funny things to sort of lighten the atmosphere because that shit starts getting heavy. But those things are not put, like C-3PO and R2-D2 are not put in there because of little kids alone. They're put in there to sort of lighten the
right.
mood, you know? I think that people just only remember those zany parts of those movies, and there really weren't that many zany parts.
No, I agree. I don't know if they're going to go that far with a Jar Jar. It'll be something kiddie, but it won't be quite. I don't know if I think it'll be that annoying, because I think even some of the people who are probably working on this movie probably couldn't stand Jar Jar Binks either.
I'd like to make a bet.
I'm willing to bet you that they will have something cutesy. And, I mean, again, for example, I never thought on this point that anything could be worse than Ewoks in my entire life. And then Jar Jar Binks proved me wrong. Don't know. I might take you up on that bet because I don't think anything could ever be worse than Jar Jar Binks ever.
I don't know that it would be worse than Jar Jar. What
at
I'm
least saying, it's bad, right?
What I'm saying is George Lucas put Jar Jar in there because he really felt that kids liked Jar Jar, and maybe they did. Maybe little kids,
yeah, 3-year-olds,
like five, liked Jar Jar Binks,
yeah.
and thought he was funny, and that made them laugh. And I guarantee you that because, like Tori's saying, that there's humor in Star Wars films, they put a lot of humor things in the prequels that were like Jar Jar stepping in the poopy and Jar Jar and the Gungans like shaking their heads and making that woo sound. Like, and fucking Anakin saying, you know, whatever it was. What is he saying? Like, yippee! And the guy,
yeah.
what's his name, saying, you know, how wooed, you know?
How wooed.
All that stupid crap was all put in there because they thought it was funny. And so they're going to have crap like that, like the little snowman version of fucking Frozen. They'll have something like that because they think that little kids...
Right, it is a Disney movie. Yeah, you're right.
...intelligence at all. And the only thing that they can enjoy is, like, something stupid like that, the humor. But like Tori's saying, Han, Luke, and Leia had humor within their conversations. Like, Leia would be, like, you know, snarky with Han, and that was funny, you know?
Right.
Calling him a scruffy nerf herder was funny, you know? You
yeah.
didn't have to have somebody stepping in the poopy.
Yes. I think I'm going to go back and probably – I don't know if they can be as bad – if you're saying it's going to be as bad as Jar Jar, I'm doubtful. But if you're saying they're going to stick a – like the snowman from Frozen or something like that for the kiddies, I'm with you there. It's going to happen. I'd be surprised if it didn't happen. I just thought you meant that it would be actually as horrible as Jar Jar.
When was the last time you sat down and watched Return of the Jedi?
Rehash of the Jedi is – been a little while.
Because if you haven't, those fucking Ewoks are really annoying.
Oh, I hate them more than everything. Look, believe me, they were my most hated thing ever until Jar Jar.
I don't know that one is really worse than the other when you really look at it.
It's tough. Michael, would you have it? Which one do you go? Do you go Lee Watts or Jar Jar? Because it sounds like Melinda thinks they're equally bad.
I think Jar Jar edges out as worse because he actually attempts to speak something close to English.
Yeah.
But the Ewoks, at least they're not speaking my language, so.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can almost argue that that's bad, too, because you get that, like, little kid baby talk kind of crap. It's almost worse than Jar Jar's whatever the hell.
Are you arguing that Ewoks are worse than Jar Jar?
I'm saying they're at least as bad. I just think people don't ever see them side by side.
I think it's close. I have seen Jedi, in the past couple of years, obviously, unfortunately, but I will not be put in a position to defend Ewoks.
You're wise.
Holy crap.
You know, I mean, I know when I was a kid in the theater, I was like, we're talking 1982, I was like, or 83, I was 7 when I saw that movie in the theater, and I thought those things were ridiculous.
Oh.
I thought they were so little kids. Like, I was just like, you know, I felt like kind of embarrassed in that moment that I was sitting there. I was like, oh, am I in a little kid movie? Like, because I was super sensitive to that as a kid. Like, I didn't want to watch anything that was, like, made for really little kids. And that's what I felt like I was watching in Jedi when they got on that planet and those stupid things started jumping around and singing their little songs. And
that's one thing they have to be careful of, because now they're having to skirt this line. It's like, it's a Disney product, and yet it's also trying to go back to a traditional Star Wars model.
Yeah.
So how are they going to reconcile that?
I totally agree there. And again, thinking more about it, there will be an attempt to have the cutesy character. I just don't...
We know there's going to be the geriatrics will be added in there.
Right.
We know that there's going to be some cutesy little thing.
Right.
And because it's J.J. Abrams, we also know there's going to be something about vengeance.
Oh, it'll have to be vengeance. Absolutely. We can't have a Jar Jar Abrams movie without vengeance.
It has to be. And so what I'm really worried about is that Luke Skywalker is going to be some instrument of vengeance, which...
Mm.
And sense, unless he's turned to the dark side, which you know, they could make him go all dark side.
Well, that's a good point. Wow. But it definitely, they got to get vengeance in there somewhere. There's no question about it. You're right. And we got to have something really, we have to have a ship that's ridiculously humongous.
Well, yeah.
And that's all J.J. Abrams knows how to do.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Wow. Yeah, yeah. Man. All that's going to happen, I guess. In fact, I would be surprised if they didn't have a cutesy character. But, I wasn't disagreeing with you on that. I was just saying, when you talk Jar Jar Binks, you're talking the worst character in movie history for me, probably. I don't know if this could be a more horrible character. And I hated the Ewoks so much that before I saw Jar Jar, I did not think – I was probably going, you know what, at least it won't have Ewoks. I was actually saying that a couple times.
Yeah.
Before 1999. I was like – And then I kept seeing pictures of Jar Jar. I'm like, this is a stupid-looking rabbit. But I didn't know he was going to be in the whole damn thing. You know, I just thought, man, he looks pretty stupid, but I didn't really care. Until you see him, you don't know.
Right.
I mean, so, yeah. I better not say that, huh? When I thought Ewoks could not, nothing could make me madder than Ewoks, I'm proven wrong there, so I better watch it. By the way, the stream is about to run, everyone. Just if you're listening on the archives, we're not done yet. Hanging up just... telling Tori, thank you for joining us. Toy Room of Insanity, we are honored to have you here with us. And, of course, everyone else out there listening on the feeds, the great Ace Cast Iron and everyone else, I appreciate you all being here. And, of course, I just wanted to get that in before the stream ran out. But, man, I think we've decided – I think we've probably decided that this – I don't think we spoiled much, though.
Well, I mean, you can't spoil those things.
Unless you know.
No, like, you don't really know. And that's fine. To me, like, it doesn't really matter because I can't imagine that it's going to be good. So,
you know what this kind of falls in line with? This, you know, it's pretty much like Batman Molests Superman that's coming out in a couple of years.
Yeah.
Other than hoping it tanks, and rooting against it and watching it and being able to bitch and scream about it, I have no dog in the race.
I don't really either. I think that the biggest deal for me is that, like, I've already resolved my issues internally with Star Wars. Like, it used to really, really bother me, and probably a long time ago, this kind of movie would bother me that it's coming out, because I'm sure, like, I would be like, oh, I want it to be really good, and I'm pissed off that it's not. But now I've already kind of buried Star Wars. Like, it's dead, and it's buried, and I've dealt with my grief, should we say, and,
yeah.
And I've come to terms with it. It's gone. There's nothing you can do to bring it back. Same with a lot of other things that I've loved over time. It's like, well, you know, it's dead to me now. So there's not really anything this movie can do, good or bad, in my opinion, because it's dead to me.
You sound identical to me when thinking about Star Trek and Star Wars, as a matter of fact. So, wow. I mean, that's exactly the way I am about this movie.
That's empowering, because, like, the only thing now that bothers me is because people know that I'm a huge Star Wars fan. People say stuff to me about it. Oh, did you see that new Star Wars? Are you excited about the new Star Wars? And it puts me in the position of saying, no, it's going to fucking suck. And then you sound like a jackass.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's another, yeah. I go through that a lot with Star Trek. Like, oh, man, are you looking forward to, you know, that and other things? Or like when it's comic book things, yes, you can't, well, like, hey, you know, what do you think about this thing? Pretty cool. No, actually, I think it's going to be, oh, really? Yeah, you're right. You sound like, God, we go through a lot of the same things. You know that, don't you?
Yeah. I really honestly still have not figured out what to say when people ask me things like that. Like, are you looking forward to the new, and then fill in the blank? Like, I don't know. Do you just say, yeah, that would be cool, and then just let it go?
Probably in theory, but I'm not capable of it, are you?
I mean,
I've never been able to. I've always, because I have it all the time, I go, no, it actually friggin' sucks, and they don't know. So you tell them why, and they don't really understand why anyway.
No, it just makes them think you're even more of a freak than they already think you are.
Which is kind of cool to me. I actually enjoy that.
Like, to me, I don't like the fact that, like, so there's a girl that I work with, and she's, you know, you'd think that she'd be into sci-fi, but she's not. And so when she found out that, you know, one of my coworkers and I are really into, like, Star Trek and generally into sci-fi, she's like, oh, yeah, you guys are into sci-fi. And she always says it with this little tiny bit of derision. Like she, and she says that it's not that, but it still feels that way. So anytime a muggle says something like that to you, it kind of comes off like, oh, you're one of those. You're into that. That's weird. And it's like, I don't know. Is it any different than somebody who's not into sports going, oh, you're one of those people that's into sports? It always comes off like you're putting them down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Well, you know, and again, I think geeks have been through it more than anyone.
Right. And I guess maybe I'm more sensitive to it, like, because I've had been through it so often. So, like, if somebody's trying, one of those muggle people is trying to relate to me, genuinely doing everything they are capable of to be nice and,
yes,
and relate on that level and ask me about something they think I would like, I don't want to make them walk away from that experience feeling bad because they're trying to come up to me, like holding, like trying to go, oh, you're into this. We can talk about this because I know a little bit about this because it's mainstream, right? I've heard of this new Star Trek movie and I saw it with my grandson and, you know, it's kind of cool. And I thought of you because I know you like Star Trek. I don't want to make them feel bad. So I'm like, yeah, that's cool. So I always just try to turn it back around to them, like, yeah, well, what do you think? You know,
yeah.
I don't want them to feel bad. I don't want to be a jerk.
Well, I go through the same exact thing with muggles all the time, and I'm with you. Like, when they've asked one of those questions, and I've acted like, given the standard geek answer, like, those, you know, first of all, they don't understand it anyway. When you tell them why you don't like something, they don't get it anyway.
No,
so when I've done it, I do walk away feeling like, what the fuck's wrong with you? Just say, oh, yeah, that's great, and then walk off. But I never can.
Yeah, well,
I'm with you.
either. Like, it's not like I'm sitting here saying I always manage to do that, because it's really hard, especially if you're already in a bad mood.
I so relate to that.
If you're in a shitty mood, somebody comes up to you and they're like, hey, you're excited about that new Star Wars?
Oh, it sucks.
Oh, fuck that shit.
You know what? You are so right, but I never am smart enough to stop myself. I always end up going, you're telling them why, and then walking away and go like, they must think I'm a fucking idiot. But then I just think, you know what? Who cares? I don't let it bother me, but I understand why it bothers you. Because it bothers me for a second that I just dismiss it. But I understand why it bothers you.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't want to be like a jerk bag.
Yeah, I don't think it's a jerk thing so much. I think they just don't understand your passion. I don't think they're thinking you're a jerk if you're not being rude. I think they're just legitimately not getting it. They're like, wow, really? Why aren't you just, why are you so excited about that one way or the other?
I think that they look at you like you're a weirdo loser.
Right, weirdo, yeah, but they don't think they're offended. They're just like, okay, whatever. They don't get you. And I don't really care if those people get me, do you?
Sometimes I don't, but sometimes it really does feel like derision.
Oh, it definitely is derision. And that's what I'm saying, kind of backbite it, go, well, you know what, if they're that way about it, if they don't get it, then screw them.
I don't get it, because it's stuff like, it's the same crap that people will write on our channel, like, wow, it's just a cartoon, dude.
Oh,
get over it, you know, or... You know,
right.
Like, it's that mentality. So if you start
right.
going on a rant about Star Wars with people who are clearly like, well, I really like the special effects. They're really cool. Like, because it's always that level,
right.
You know.
I'm going to tell you something. It bothers me more when so-called geeks do it.
Oh, my God, me too.
In other words, if it's just like some Joe Schmo at work and you feel like you may have been a little shitty with him, even though you weren't, I see what you're saying. What I fucking cannot stand is the ones who they will get on and act just like those muggles do. And yep, they're geeks, and they're only coming from the standpoint they don't want you saying anything bad about it. It's like, oh well, you didn't even see it yet. Why are you being such a prejudger? Why are you fucking talking bad about something? You know, just lighten up. It's just a fuck. You know, in other words, they don't want to hear it.
Yeah, yeah.
Act just like them. I can't stand those motherfuckers.
Yeah, but only if it's something they like, because
exactly.
We have so many people on our channel who will sit there and go, oh, you know, I love your video about this, that, or the other. I love this and I love that, but I can't believe you said this about the Ninja Turtles or whatever it is, you know, this their thing. It's like, oh, you're sitting with us making fun of all these other properties because you don't really care about that, but we hit a little too close to home with this one, I see. So let me make sure that I send you a pre-approval list of what we can and can't say anything at all negative about. You know, to me, everything's fair fucking game.
Geeks are worse than muggles about that.
They are.
They make me – I see them on Facebook and on shit all the time. Like, oh, yeah. Here you go. You bitching about the shit with Captain America or with Thor, this way, with the Marvel, whatever crap that's going on. You know, fuck those people. You know, you guys just go get a life, motherfucker. And then you go look at their page, or if you know them, you're like, you're just as big a geek ass chop. But the bottom line is, you like it and you're defensive about it.
Yeah.
I can't stand those people. They're worse than muggles to me every time. But I understand.
I mean. Look, there are plenty of things that I like, and there's plenty of things I don't like. And anytime somebody's just totally ragging out something that I really like, it's not that it doesn't bother me, but I also know how to just turn it off. Like, I don't look at it, or I do. But that's my choice. And if I'm going to, like, go skewer my own self by looking at stuff that's going to piss me off, like, if I'm going to read a bunch of people defending the prequels, then I know that it's going to piss me off. And I'm doing it on purpose to piss myself off because I feel like I want to torture myself or something. But I mean, you have options. You can stop reading that and go do something productive and positive with your day that's not going to just piss you off. If people come up to you and start talking about shit you don't like, you just go, well, you know, it's not really my thing. And I don't know.
Yeah.
I know that like, internally, I get really upset about some things. There's a lot of things that get me upset, and I try not to outwardly get upset and give somebody else the power by
yes.
getting visibly riled up about it. But sometimes we all have a bad moment and we lose our cool, you know. And usually I walk away from those moments not feeling pleased with myself, just mostly because I lost the control.
Yeah, I think I get that way too. I'm with you on that, but I guess if they were cool, I try to be as nice as I can, tell them, well, you know, this is kind of why I don't like it. But I catch myself going, you know what, in my head what I'm doing, I'm like, they don't understand what you're saying anyway.
Yeah, but don't you, if you give in and you start talking about it, don't you feel the need to try to, like, explain it to them so that they do understand?
Yes.
And the problem is that they are not capable of understanding.
Yes.
So, like, you do start ranting because you're just trying to elicit a response from them that they're never going to give you. Like, you're looking for that, like, look of understanding to wash across their face, but you know it's never going to fucking happen, so you just end up frustrating yourself.
Exactly. You're spinning your wheels when you do that.
Yeah.
No, I go through it all the time. So, I just don't, I guess I've never done it where I felt bad, like I felt like I acted like a jerk to them. Except, well, no, I did last year during Man of Rubber. But this guy wasn't necessarily a Muggles. He liked stuff like that. So I don't know about necessarily with the Muggles, but this young guy at work, when he was saying how awesome Man of Rubber was, he was asking me, man, you know, how I would like it. When I fucking went off on it, as you know I wanted to do. And then, of course, in the same conversation, Jar Jar direct with Twofer. And I walked away from that one feeling pretty bad because I was like, God damn it, dude, shut up. This guy, he was just being nice, you know, and he liked him. You could, you know, he was really cool about it. He's like, wow, really? I've never really thought of it that way. And yeah, I felt like a bit of an ass.
Well, that's the thing is, like, you know, I've had people come up and they'll say, oh, you know, I saw the new Star Trek movie this weekend and, you know, I thought of you because I know you like sci-fi and have you seen that movie? And they're, I know in my mind that they don't have the dearth of knowledge about sci-fi, and that's no judgment against them. They're just into other stuff. But they're trying to connect with me, be nice. So they're really, they don't know, nor do they care about the original Wrath of Khan or any of that crap. They don't care.
Right.
And so I don't want to bore them with it or tell them or make them feel awkward by me going on some big rant. Because their expectation when they come to my office to talk about it is, oh, I'll talk sci-fi with Melinda for a minute and be nice and bring up something that she likes. So if I blow up at them and go, God, I fucking hate Star Trek. You're a fucking moron, you know, like they're going to be, like, really upset because internally. Now, they may come off like and just laugh it off and just be like, oh, well, I guess that was a mistake to bring that up, you know, but I guess I just don't want them to feel, like, awkward or bad for having brought it up to me.
Yeah.
Or feel like I'm judging them harshly because they like it, you know, because that's okay for them to like it. I don't really care. I agree with you, Mike. I think that it's more upsetting when a self-professed geek comes up and says some of that crap because they should know better. If it's a Muggle, it's okay if they like Star Trek Into Darkness.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. I see exactly everything you're saying now and have been through it. And yes, just a couple of times when I have geeked on somebody who wasn't one, I walk away feeling a little awkward and a little, oh, like, dude, what the fuck is wrong with you? And then, of course, it happens again and I do it again like an idiot. What about you, Michael? Has it happened to you?
You mean in the sense of just kind of going off on somebody?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't know if this may make sense or not, but it's gotten to the point with me where people actually, whether they're people find me entertaining when I rant.
Me too. Me too.
It's not so affronting.
Yeah, but see, you guys are like guys, and you don't have bitchy resting face.
That's true.
So, like, if I do it, it comes off like I'm going to murder them. I think if somebody comes to my office and I start talking about Star Wars,
right,
Mike, you know how I am about, like, Star Wars.
Right.
Like, when I actually allow myself to get worked up about it, because that's what we talked about when you and I met. And if I start going off like that, I start getting really bitingly sarcastic and just, you know, no holds barred, saying shit that to me does not sound even as close to as evil as the things that I'm thinking in my mind.
Oh, God.
To them, they're like, Jesus, you know?
Yes.
And so I don't really have a good gauge on where that line is. So if I really just start talking about things like, you know, apparently I go way over the line. And so they get this look on their face, like their eyes get real wide and they start backing away.
Right.
And so I think maybe it's just me. Maybe it's the way that I sort of rant. I don't rant in a funny kind of entertaining way so much as a scary run for your life kind of way.
God. I hear you. Well, that might be it then, because I'm like you, Michael. The people like that love to get me set off on crap.
Yeah, it's like a thing to them. They're like, oh, I'll get them to talk about Thundercats. You know, or whatever. It's like, oh, you know.
You know, I used to have a complex about that, but now I can kind of see why they do it, because if there was someone else around me that I knew I would be entertained by them going off on something, I would do it too.
Right.
So, I mean, but it's the fucking people who are self-proclaimed geeks. And I see it all over Facebook. It's difficult to put into words what I mean. I think you all know what I mean. That just drive me. They're worse. The Muggles, you know, I'm just like you when I walk away going, all right, I probably should have toned that down a little bit. But when it's a geek, these are the ones who, with their first thing out of their pie hole is, oh, yeah, screw all these people who are like the Thor being a woman crap. That just came
right out.
What is that? What are you talking about? I haven't even heard this.
You didn't hear about that? Marvel announced that Thor's going to be a woman and Captain America's going to be Sam Wilson, the Falcon now. It's like, and I think they really missed the chance. This was this past week, 2 days in a row they did that. I think they missed the trifecta. They could have made Tony Stark gay, and then they could have been like the PC trifecta. And then just imagine how, because anyone who walked out and came out and said, look, this is stupid, well, you're sexist. And this is stupid about the Captain America thing. Well, you're racist.
Yeah.
So it can't be just that you want to see the characters stay like they were. But, yes, Thor, and there's another thing. He's Thor. That's his name, not a superhero moniker.
Well, also, he's a god.
Well, he's going to be disgraced and be unworthy. And all that sexist stuff about the hammer being meant for a man, which it was, because it actually, you know, he who shall be worthy on the hammer. Well, that's the thing is, Marvel's saying no one's going to know who this woman is, but it's going to be a woman Thor. And they also touted it like it's the first time this has ever happened, and that's a lie too, because Marvel. And then the next day they came out with Captain America, I guess, is going to – the super soldier serum or something is going to wear off. He's going to age 60-something years. And Sam Wilson, the Falcon, is going to take over as the new Captain America. And they're not doing that to generate sales for a little phony sales grab, are they?
Huh.
Yeah.
Trying to pull in demographics that traditionally don't read comics.
Well, that's because – yeah, look, this thing with Thor as a woman, it got announced on The View.
Well, why the fuck can't they just do something decent with, like, I know it's a different thing, but why can't they just somebody do something better with Wonder Woman or one of the bazillion of other female characters that are out there? I know she's DC, but I'm just saying.
Because they don't know how to write original things. And so
no. They need shock.
Right. They got to ride on the coattails of a pre-existing name.
But see, to me, as a woman, that's not interesting to read.
Right.
A lot of women are saying, look, they like Thor being the big hunky guy he is, and they don't, you know, they're like, well, you know, why are you doing this? And, of course, a lot of men who think, look, I like Thor the way he is, well, you're a bunch of sexist.
I like Thor the way he is, and I like him as a Norse god, not necessarily just as a comic book hero, because when I hear the name Thor,
right,
I don't think comics, and I don't think Avengers, and I don't think the films. I think Norse mythology. You
right.
Just like, you know, all these people, these characters from that are actual gods. Like, it just seems, it's fucked up to me to say, oh, well, we're just going to change this.
The fact that this got announced on The View tells you all you need to know about the way Marvel or DC markets things. 20 years ago, if they did this to Thor, it would not have made anything other than the comics press. But because there are popular movies with Thor, and now we live in the information age where everything is political. And again, think about it. It's supposed to be just a silly friggin' comic book about a comic book character changing the sex, and they're not changing his sex. It's just someone else. They're changing the gender of the person who's going to carry the hammer and be called Thor, even though that was his name. That's what gets me. That's political news now in a friggin' comic. Why? Because they knew it. Because the idiots at Marvel knew. They know that every time they do something quote-unquote controversial, it's going to get actual press because they're big comic book movies now. 20 years ago, it wouldn't happen. But now comics are the subservient to the movie counterparts anyway. So they announce it on The View. Think about that for a second. A show that's supposed to be about women commenting on politics. And they're going to. So why should a comic book change of any sort be political? Unless you think you can make media hay out of it.
Well, I'm assuming that they don't just talk politics on The View anyway. They talk about, you know, social media. They talk about, like, pop culture to some degree, news, whatever. So I guess if you're saying that is a reflection of, you know, how women are being interpreted in popular media, I personally, as a woman, find that to be less awesome than them actually taking a pre-existing female character and actually doing something worth a damn with her.
Right.
Stand on her own, you know what I'm saying, instead of having to take it away from a man. Because honestly, I consider myself a feminist, but not to the point where But maybe it doesn't jive with what most people think of as a feminist, because I think it's important for men to have their own power so that they stand and have, like, not equality where we're the same thing, but equality where we're both strong, right, in our own way.
Right.
So Thor is a strong male character. There are a lot of strong female characters who bring different sets of traits to the table. So why you have to take a man's name and rank and position, that's just sort of symbolic of what the feminist movement has been trying to do this whole time,
yeah,
of, like, coming in and taking men's roles away from them, which has not served any of us well, in my personal opinion, although all this I know is political of me to say. But
no, I hear you.
I just feel like, you know, all that aside, men and male roles don't have to be the only targets that are worth claiming. Like, just because a guy is filling a role doesn't mean that's the best role to be. Like, so Superman, like, well, Superman's not going to be Superman anymore. It's going to be a woman. It's going to be Superwoman.
Mm-hmm.
Not Supergirl. It's going to be Superwoman. And she's going to have all the powers of Superman. It's like, well, why couldn't we just do Wonder Woman? Like, and
Wonder Woman is supposed to be for.
Exactly. She stands on her own and holds her own in a slightly different way than Superman. But no, we have to be Superman.
I think you can make a case that it's insulting to women that you have to turn one into Thor. Same with blacks, by the way. You can't say they're great black, make a new black character. You have to take a classic character and basically do in one effect this affirmative action on him and let give him his turn to be Captain America.
Well, I think that, you know, even when we talked about G.I. Joe, you know, that's sort of what they did. You know, they had really cool black characters to choose from. But when they made the film, they opted to give it felt like a kind of a slap in the face, because those characters, those black characters who were really awesome, were left out altogether.
And they cast the black actor as one of the white characters,
who was a nothing character.
Right.
Yep.
It was more important to get a nothing white character in there, even through a black actor, than it was to bring an important black character into the story.
Yeah, so it's insulting to any character that what they're contribution was is not important. It's more important, like, you're basically saying the only worthwhile stories that are already, because we can only tell stories that are already in existence. We can't make up new ones, right? So the only important stories are white men. White men. And so if we want to tell stories about women or minorities, they have to be usurped from white men's stories, which, by the way, doesn't make any sense because my story is not the same as a man's story.
Well,
I'm going to, and that's just true of any minority, I would imagine, too, because when you are a woman, I know this because I am one, you have a different perspective on everything. You have different struggles you have to go through, like even going to a workplace every day. People don't see you as the same as men. It's true. It's out there. It's real. But, you know, I don't have to be put in a man's position to feel that.
Well, again, you're talking about the modern-day PC mind that doesn't work that way. It thinks style over substance and symbolism over substance suffices, and all you have to do is do phony faux diversity moves like this, and they think people are appeased. And if you dare criticize it, if you say, look, it's kind of stupid, why don't you just make another female character? Why do that to Thor? And why does Thor have to turn into a disgraced jackass to make it be, just to do this? Well, you're sexist. Oh, you know, if you say Captain America, you know, Steve Rogers is Captain America, but I didn't like it when Bucky was Captain America, and I don't like it when anyone else is, and I love Sam Wilson, I love the Falcon. Well, let's see, you're a racist.
Well.
And that's the, again, all over the net, when that happened, everyone who's out there going, if you just say, that's kind of lame, turn a door into a woman, that's kind of, and the next day when you go, really, that you guys are so reaching for shit, changing Cap that way, because it's just a bunch of crap, because you're going to bring Steve Rogers back when the next movie comes out anyway. Anyone who poo-pooed it at all or said it was silly, they didn't have people going, well, I disagree with you, pal. I think it's kind of a neat idea. No, it was, you are racist, you are sexist. And it's pathetic.
Well, they've been doing this for so long now, where they've been just taking various characters and changing their gender, their race.
Right.
Try to seem like they're more politically correct or diverse or whatever.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I guess sometimes it's not like I always have a problem with it. I don't. I just think that at this point it's getting, like, it's old. It's like, you guys have already done this. This isn't something that's new that no one's ever considered doing. Like, making Starbuck a female, like,
yeah,
making, you know, that they've changed lots of genders of characters over the years. It's like, okay, well, again, couldn't somebody, how about writing a brand new story altogether?
But they think they're actually doing some great social conscious raising, and it's been a freaking comic book character.
I don't know if they really do.
The empty suits don't. They do it because it's going to create price and make money. But they're actually people who think that this is something special. I'm telling you, they really are.
I'm sure that they do.
They're the ones who are calling people racist and sexist. The ones who think, well, if you oppose to this, you're just opposed to any kind of diversity, and you're all for white male supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, that's the PC mind at work. Well, they don't work, but you know what I'm saying. I hate, again, because they can't just say, I disagree with you, I think it's a nice idea. They have to say you're a bad person if you don't jump in line.
You've got to just kind of strike a match, throw it on the all of the geek world right now, and just walk away. Because that shit is just,
yep,
to me, that's how I feel about all these things. I just can't really get that invested in being upset about it, because I feel like the Muggles have taken over all of geekdom. There's really pretty much nothing left that they haven't kind of got their claws into. And they're going to just, like, run with it until there's no money left to be made from it. And then they will throw it aside just like an old McDonald's bag out the car window and move on to the next thing like a pack of locusts. And that's what they do. They've done it to other things in the past, and they get their claws into something, and they go, oh, this is something that can make us a lot of money. And then they run with it until they run it dry, and then they move on to the next thing. That's just what they freaking do. And so that's same with Star Trek and Star Wars. Like right now, geek stuff is still popular, and they're riding the wave. And so they're going to fuck with it as much as they can and turn the Rubik's Cube as many ways as they can to try to figure out new ways to, like, suck more blood out of this corpse. But eventually it'll die out, and something else will bear its head, and they'll be like, oh, you know what's really popular now is Westerns. Westerns is the new thing.
Wow. And that would be weird.
Whatever the fuck it is.
I hear you.
They'll move on to something else, and then it'll be the new popular thing. Like in the 90s, it was horror movies, and horror movies were super big, and they went crazy with making horror movies, and everybody was making horror movies, and they turned into complete crap, and then they just kept making them, and you're, like, embarrassed to say that you like horror movies.
Wow.
Because they're so bad. And the same with heavy metal. Like, it became so mainstream and popular that you're just, like, embarrassed to say that you like it.
Yeah.
And now it's back underground again. So I keep thinking that geek stuff is going to be the same way. In 10 years, it'll be something that's super passe.
Hmm.
And, it'll be on.
Really think so?
I really do.
Hmm. Interesting. Maybe
15 years. I don't know. But these cycles, they don't last that long.
Yeah.
I mean, how long has it been since geek stuff has been super?
That was my next question. When do you either one of you think that's when it started to get now where it's?
I think the
Big Bang Theory.
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings or the
Big Bang Theory.
Although you could argue that the soft sounding for it was in '89 with Keaton's Batman.
Ah.
It spawned all those comic book movies, and then.
Yeah, but. Still, a lot of muggles weren't as into it as they are now. Like,
yeah.
Then in the 90s, you had Star Trek after Star Trek after Star Trek on TV, and Babylon 5 and Farscape and all
but
that
back
stuff.
Back then, I felt like I was still fairly marginal for liking that. And, like, if you talked about those things in this company,
yeah,
would still make a face. Whereas now, everybody knows what that shit is.
Maybe the internet has something to do with it.
It may, but I really feel
Lord of the
like
Rings
it was
definitely
Lord of the Rings or maybe the prequels. Cause a lot of people went to see that crap. But sometimes when all of it started getting really big, and I remember Lord of the Rings being really disappointing because as much as I love the movies, and I still do, they did make everything, they were kind of like the Metallica Black Album of geekdom, where suddenly everybody is... like listening to it, watching it, go, oh, this is actually really cool. And you're like, yeah, I've liked this since I was 7 or younger.
I think you both hit on a lot of it. I think it is partially Lord of the Rings, but it's also partially, remember, we just over the past 10 to 15 years got into an era where you can make superheroes look fairly convincing on the big screen. And superhero movies have made a lot of money since really those Spider-Man movies were coming out.
Yeah.
And cosplay, cosplay and cons started getting really big.
Right.
But, I mean, I don't know, maybe Big Bang Theory was part of it, too, because it's one of the most popular shows, and it shows geeks. I'm not sure what it is. Maybe you live in the information age and there's more info out there now. It's probably tough to pin down, but Lord of the Rings is not a bad place to start, or the prequels.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings came out around the same time that Harry Potter came out.
Yeah, Harry Potter's another one.
Oh.
And, you know, Buffy was pretty big at one point in some other shows, but those were like, you know, those had followings that kind of maybe stretched outside of X-Files and things like that there were a lot of geeks, but also a lot of muggles that were into them as well, maybe.
Yeah.
Sort of, but I feel like in the 90s people looked at you like you were a little odd.
Oh, yeah.
Were in, like, I went to an X-Files convention and people looked at me like I was a little bizarre.
Not at the convention, right?
No, but I mean, I was really into that, and I was into Star Trek, and I was, you know, all that, and people, and I watched Sci-Fi Channel, and
I guess marketing has something to do with this too. I mean, look how big, God, oh my God, San Diego's this week, and that's just. That's so huge now.
Yeah.
You see that, and even I, because I'm totally with you, Melinda, when you opened my eyes about San Diego when you said the very simple thing, it's just a bunch of new crap. But even I see it, and there's a part of me that feels left out that I'm not going to it. Because I've never been, and I would like to go.
I
know it's,
really would, Mike. It's kind of like seeing the original actors in the film. I think you think that.
Yeah.
But if you were there, you'd be really pissed off.
Well, there are a lot of panels about that, with the classic comics panels, and there are a lot of panels that I do know I would really do want to go to.
That's probably true, that part, yeah.
But you're right. Yeah, but if I could go, I would go at least once. But you posted something not too long ago, Melinda, that really struck home with me about that sort of thing. It was like something along the lines of you wish you could know that excitement about looking forward to something new again.
Yeah.
I do, too. I mean, I might look forward to a few more new things than you do, but it's not enough.
It wouldn't take much to be more optimistic than me, but...
What about you, Michael? You got any new stuff you look forward to?
Yeah, actually. I'm looking forward to the next game in the new Tomb Raider relaunch. The only reboot I've actually liked.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that, but I don't even know when that's going to come down the pike. So.
You don't even have anything at all, Melinda?
No.
Have you both found yourself trying to force yourself to look forward to new things sometimes because you're desperate? Because I have. Seriously.
I gave up.
I'm sort of looking forward to Guardians of the Galaxy a little bit for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm looking forward to it in the sense of, like, having actual anticipation.
Yeah.
I can't really imagine what that must be like.
I'm big time looking forward to it. I do have Doctor Who. I'm so happy about that, even though I'm pissed at myself for watching that screener print that was online. That was a dumbass thing to do because there's no one to talk about it for a month and a half, over a month. But
that's because we don't watch it, so.
Yeah, I can spoiler it all over here now. But, yeah, people got really upset about that spoiling thing. They're like, don't you dare. Like, I didn't say it was going to, but Jesus Christ, dudes.
I can't speak to that because I don't have any, like, oh, I'm so looking forward to that. I guess I kind of looked forward to the Veronica Mars movie before I saw it.
Oh, you saw it already? It came out already?
Oh, yeah, like. Months ago.
Oh, really? Was it good?
I enjoyed it.
It was in the theater you all saw it, or just...
Yeah, I saw it opening night.
Oh, nice. There you go.
I don't know. I didn't have very high expectations of it, so it made it easier for me to just be like, yeah, I kind of like it.
Nice. Oh, I look forward to Rift Tracks. They got two more of those to go. I enjoyed the Sharknado one was funny. I wish they would do The Room, but I know they would never let him.
Why is that?
Well, Lysow owns that thing, and he hates them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He hates them. He called them up and screaming at him and shit. But, by the way, I enjoyed that. That was an interesting survey question, Mike, the one where you name what the first thing that comes to your mind from each year from, like, 75 up. Did you fill out that yourself, or you just let
them? Yeah, I came up with that myself.
But did you do yours as well? Or you just let everyone else do it.
Oh, I'll do it. I just want to give everybody else some time to do theirs, and then I'll
do it. Yeah. Yes, you didn't do it either, Melinda.
No.
That's because she's always sleepy.
Oh.
I'm so burned out right now.
Really?
It's like I'm probably even more pessimistic than normal. So.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm just like. Plus, I don't know. I don't want to start complaining. But, yeah, sleepiness.
You are sleepy.
I saw that quiz, and I really, all I could think of was, like, how I don't really remember years. That's not really my strong suit, because the only year on there that I remembered is my birth year.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's not about so much memories as what that year brings to mind for you in general. So even if you don't remember something specifically from that year from back when, you just say, oh, 84, that's when that album came out that I really love.
See, that's what I'm saying is I can't remember what year albums came out or movies came out or things like that. So I don't, my brain doesn't work that way. That's like when I was taking history in school, I couldn't remember years that things happened. I could remember what happened and the order of events of things, and maybe generally when it happened. But I could never remember, like, that happened in September of, like, 1722. I don't remember that, and who cares? Like, who cares? I don't know. I know that I was born in 76, and I know that Star Wars came out in 77. And because of Michael, I know that, like, Empire came out in 81 or 82, and Jedi came out in, like, 83. And that's pretty much my knowledge base.
Yeah. It took me, I had to think about some of them. And all of mine were almost all of mine were movies. I was embarrassed because everyone else put all kinds of stuff.
I'm like, how the hell do you guys remember?
Well, it wasn't easy. A lot of people probably had to fact check some things. Like, was that? Let me check. Well, movies, the year's easy for me on movies, but some other stuff I was a little fuzzy on. I'll be interested to see when you fill that one out, Mike.
I'll fill it out tomorrow sometime.
Yeah. By the way, did you guys get the G.I. Joe documentary?
Yes, we haven't.
Well, want to make sure it arrived, that's all.
It arrived. We appreciate it.
Ah, cool, man. I think you may enjoy it, so you get a chance.
I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I tell you what, I don't think we spoiled anything all that bad because it's impossible to actually spoil it if you don't really know.
Right.
But bottom line, anyone who's listening on the archives there, Star Wars Episode 7 is I'm not even going to say it. I was about to really be it. No, I'm just, look, go enjoy it. But don't pay. Walk in, pay to see something else, and then walk in, sneak into the. Just don't do that. Sorry, that ain't nice, is it?
I would never pay money to them.
What about you, Mike? You gonna go? No.
No, everyone's gonna try and get me to go, but I'm just gonna wait for it because I can't stand the audiences anyway. So I'll just wait for it on DVD and then go see it then.
Yeah, or download maybe.
Yeah, something like that.
We have Netflix, so.
Well, there you go. Yeah, it's good. Netflix is good for binge watching. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, guys, I kept you. Look how late. I always forget that you guys are an hour ahead of me and keeping you up late, and I'm sorry about that. But
all right.
Get lost. You guys are damn tired. And Dragon Con, everyone. The Retro Blasters, by the way, anyone listening on the archives, go to retroblasting.com. Is that right? It's .com, right?
Yep.
Then, of course, YouTube. I'm retroblasting on YouTube and on Facebook. And you're going to be at Dragon Con doing panels.
That's right.
Wow. Do you know what they're going to be yet or no?
Although, honestly, you know, our biggest panel is the one that we're doing. Like, a lot of the panels we're doing, we're just sitting up on a panel, like an actual panel of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all just going to be talking about stuff. But the one panel that's like, where we get to write, you know, a presentation like we normally do, it's like Sunday morning.
That's so, when? Monday morning?
Yeah.
Wow.
That kind of sucks. But
it does, but before...
I guess it's the first year that we're doing it, so...
Before I leave Monday morning, then I'll definitely go hang and see that panel before I take off back for... Well, I'm already thinking about leaving Dragon Con. It hasn't even happened yet. Yuck. So, but that's great, though. I'm glad you guys are, you know, again, you should probably, in a way, at least you don't have to write four panels.
Right.
Well, yeah, I guess, yes. That's a good way to look at the bright side of that. I am going to have to pull some photos for another panel that we're doing.
Yeah.
Just so that we'll have some visual aid. Because I offered that up. I think that's worthwhile.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Well, it'll be fun, and you guys will be there, so that'll be the great thing. And that is when I will see you next, of course. But in the meantime, if you think of a good topic for the August show, if you're able to do it, because I know you guys are busy a lot, but you got plenty of time for that. But
okay.
And again, unless you wanted this to serve as the August show, but you don't have to. We'll do it, you know, just saying.
Yeah, no, we'll give it some thought.
You guys are so tired and stuff. I feel bad I always keep you up so long. So.
But just promise to, you know, stay safe out there, and we'll see you on the net, and then we'll see you for the August show.
Well, thanks so much. Appreciate it as always, my wonderful friends, and I cannot wait to see you.
Yep, we will see you at the con.
All right. Later, everyone. Later, Michael and Melinda, Retroblasting Flame. Thank you so much.
See
you later.
I sound, almost sounded like a radio guy for that. That won't happen again. Later.
Bye.
Let's see. I'm sorry. I forgot I have to. There we go. Now goodbye.